the laws of refuah b'shabbos, that if a person is a bari with a nechesh b'alma, then we don't allow him to take refuah. It's in a list. He's not allowed to take refuah, even though there's no malachim involved. It's a gzera that he may get carried away and violate a malachim. We pass in the Shulchan Aruch, like those who shine him who feel that if he's really a chayla shein b'sakana, namely the Ramah says either mutal namishka b'chayla kol gufo, then there is no gzeres refuah. He's not allowed to do any malachas, but there's no gzeres refuah. So this Mishnah says on Kuf Yud Aleph Min Aleph, the only time refuah is forbidden if it's in a fashion that's very niker. Let's say there are healthy people who take schnapps all the time when they're not sick. So even if they're sick today and they're taking schnapps because they're sick, that's permissible. Or let's say a person, when he has a cold, say he takes a hot drink of tea or a hot drink of coffee. So hot coffee and hot tea per se is not a refuah. There are people that take hot tea and hot coffee all the time. So even if this particular person only takes schnapps when he's sick, or this person only takes hot coffee or hot tea when he's sick, that's not called refuah hanikeres. If it's a maichot briyim, if it's something that everybody would take, that's not a problem. Here the Gemara is going to have a machlekes abai v'rova regarding the details of this din, that they only asked refuah hanikeres. What's the din if certain hours of the day it's nikah that he's doing it l'shem refuah, and other hours of the day it's not nikah that he's doing it l'shem refuah? So that's going to be the machlokes abai v'rova. We'll soon see. Achoshesh b'shinav, if a person has a toothache, and if he gargles, let's say, with salt water, then it'll relieve the toothache. So normal healthy people don't gargle with salt water, so you're not allowed to do that. Or if he's going to hold vinegar, he's going to gargle with vinegar and then spit it out. So the Mishnah says you're not allowed. You're not allowed to soak your teeth. You're not allowed to have a dose of vinegar held in your mouth, because that's a refuah hanikeres. Even though it's not a medicine, chaimetz is not a medicine. Like the Gemara has earlier in the Perek, that to use a hot water bottle, a person has a bellyache, so to put a hot water bottle on his belly is a gzeira of refuah. And so Shulchan Aruch is quoted like that. Even though there's no medication involved over there, but still, since that's an activity that a person only does, only a sick person does, but a healthy person never does it, so that's an activity that's nikah mishum refuah. So it says here in the Mishnah, Abel metabel hu kidarkai, bim nisrape nisrape. Let's say a person, a lot of people do this, they dip their food into sauce or into vinegar. Some people dip their food into vinegar. So if the person, well, in the middle of the meal, he normally doesn't dip into vinegar, but today he has this toothache, so he's going to keep on dipping everything into vinegar and holding it on that side of the mouth. So it's not nika that it's l'shem refuah, so that's permissible. In the srap, in the srap, even though the end result will be that he's going to be healed, that's permissible, but because it's not a refuah hanikeres. Or the same thing, a choshesh b'masnam, he has some kind of a pain on his thighs, le'yosach behem yayin b'chomitz, a person doesn't smear wine or vinegar on his body. People smear oil on their body when they're not sick, but when they're healthy, they don't smear wine or vinegar. Avosachu es Hashem, and that's okay to smear oil on the body, even though he normally would never smear oil on the body. He only does it when he's sick. But since there are a lot of people smear oil on the body all the time, so that's not called a refuah hanikeres. What if it's shemen vered? What if it's a very expensive oil that only multimillionaires can afford? Rashi writes, Lefisha dam of Yikari, and it's very expensive. Ain't no matzu, and it's not so easily available, it's so expensive. So then, under these circumstances, the Mukha Chamilsa de la Refuah of it, then it's called the Refuah Hanikeres. So then the Mishnah says that it's also V'lo Shemen Vered. You're not allowed to Shemen Vered, because that's a Refuah Hanikeres. What if he's taka from that group of people who have a lot of money to burn? V'dei Malachim Sochin Shemen Vered al Makas Hem Shkein Darkon Losach B'chol. All year long they would shmir shem and zera because they can afford it. So even if they would normally not do it, and they're only doing it now because they're not feeling well, because they're sick, that's not called refuah hanikeres, because even on the weekdays they could afford to do that. So that would be permissible. Reb Shimon disagrees with the Tanakam, and he says, Kol Yisrael b'nei Malachim Hayim. What does that mean exactly? Kol Yisrael b'nei Malachim Hayim, that we all deserve to be wealthy. And if we would have all been wealthy, it would have been refuah she'ain nikeres. Even though we're not so wealthy, and we only would shmir shem and vered, we'd only go to the expense of shmir shem and vered in the case that we would be sick. So it's still not called refuah nikeres because it's not. It shouldn't have been refuah nikeres. It was supposed to have not been a refuah nikeres because we're all supposed to be wealthy. That's Rab Shimon Lishitosa. He holds in Bava Metzia on Kuf Yud Gimel on the base. It says on the margin on the left hand side. There wasn't enough room on the right side, so they put it on the left side. So on Bava Metzia Kuf Yud Gimel, there's a machlekes in the Gemara whether misadvin lebalchoyf. Let's say if a person I owe you $1,000 and I have no money to pay, so when they come and it's time for me to pay, and you don't agree to any postponement. You've already postponed the debt 10 years and you want to collect already. I keep on dilly dally. So they start taking away all of my things. So do they take everything away? Mamash, they leave me naked. They take away my shirt and my underwear and my clothes. They leave me with nothing. They take everything away. But he say, no, misadvin lebachar. So the original pasuk in Chumash says if a person took a neder erchin, if a person took a neder to give erchin to the Beis HaMikdash, so if he can't afford to give the erech all depends on whether he said Erech ploni alai, is it a male, is it a female, and what age the person is. And then it says in the Chumash that if you can't afford, kifi yara neira, yarecheinu hakoin, if you can't afford to pay that amount, so the coin paskins, the Torah says that the guy's worth 50 shkolim, and if I can't afford to give him 50, to give the gizbo shal hegdish 50 shkolim, so then the coin paskins that I have to give less. So how do they determine how much I can afford? So there's a pasuk that indicates that they leave me my clothing, they leave me a Shabbos suit, they don't have to leave me six different suits, one for Sunday, one for Monday, one for Tuesday, they don't have to leave me six suits for Shabbos and Yom Tov and for Yom Kippur, they don't have to leave one suit for the weekdays, one suit for Shabbos, and a little bit of underwear, and whatever I make my parnasa from. So I'm a Rebbe in Yeshiva, so I need a couple of Gemaras, so they'll leave me a Chumash and a couple of Gemaras, and that's it. And all the other swarm they'll take, and they'll auction it off to the highest bidder, and they'll use the money to pay the chutz. So that's called misadrin. That the bezdin, when they assess how much I can afford, so they leave me over a little bit. So now the Gemara has a machlekes in Bav Metzia, whether you say misadrin lebalchayv or ain't misadrin lebalchayv. You say the same thing by a balchayv. We write in the text of the Ksuba that the husband is going to pay his wife afilu menglima dal kasvei. She has the right to take away even the shirt off of his back. So strictly speaking, most of the Rishonim Paskim and Sadran Abachayv, that you can't take the shirt off the guy's back. You really leave the shirt. So that's not to be taken literally. You don't really say, you take the Glima Dal Kasay. We assume that Misadran Abachayv. So then the Gemara has a Machloika Satanoim in the end of Bob Metzirah and Kufyat Gimel. What if the fellow has a... Could be. I don't remember. Could be that if they said explicitly, I give you the right to take even the shirt off my back, could be that, yes, because the Medina the Gemara, the Ksuba Sishoni collects the Ziburis. Balchoyv collects Beninis, and Chofta Laravis Nizikni collects Edis, and Ksuba Sisha is supposed to only collect Ziburis. But because we write in the Ksuba that she has the right to take Mikol Shvar Arag Nichs in the Kinyonim. Shvar means Shapiro, the best, the Idis. And Arag Nichsin means the Nechosim, the property that people desire to get. Arag is Miloshin Rogog, the Mirage Glemechazi. It says the Eitzad, an Esrog. What is an Esrog? An Esrog is a pre Eitz Hadar, a very pretty fruit that's enticing. And the Targum Onkelos writes on the word in Parshas Bereishis on the Atzei Hagon, all the trees in Gan Eden were Nechmad Lamaris, so it says the Mirageg Lamechazi. So the word Ragog, the verb Ragog in Aramaic means desirous, what people want. So that's assumed to be Metaf. So we write in the Ksuba that even though Mi'ikir Adin, the wife is only entitled to collect the Ksuba from Ziburis, so the husband is mishapin himself more than the din requires, and she has the right to take edus. We call shvar arag nichsin the kinyan and disli chos kol shmai. We write in more that strictly speaking is only entitled to collect the karka, not metaltalin. Gemara has a machlekes from man and chacham. We pass from the ksuba is only nigvus man a karka, ain't a nigvus man a metaltlin. But by us, we write into the ksuba that is mishabin nechos and the islon achrayis, or the leslon achrayis. Kulahon yon achrayim avoyin. The frayman hon. Everything is mishubin. The karka and the metaltlin. So the husband obligates himself more than the din requires. It could be, I don't remember, it could be that that's why we write Meglim of Dal Kasrei, that if you mishabit yourself, so it could be that you forfeited, you were mavata, you were moichal anatzchus, and then there's no longer a din of misadrin al-bachoy. Probably is correct. So there in the end of Bab Metzia, there is a machlekes satanoim. What if the fellow is a plain student in the yeshiva? There are students who come to school dressed very plainly, and this guy only has such expensive clothing like millionaires buy. So if you'll auction off the suit that he has to the highest bidder, you'll be able to buy him a plain suit and have a few hundred dollars left over, and that's all he owes is a few hundred dollars. So do you say, even though he's a poor man, Kol Yisrael b'nei Malachim, every Jew deserves to have the most expensive clothing, so therefore you leave him the expensive clothes that he has, and he's going to wear those, one suit for the weekdays and one suit for the for Shabbos and Yom Tov? Or do you say no? It's not so. Kol Yisrael are not b'nei Malachim. So there we don't pass on like Reb Shimon, not here and not there. We don't accept this opinion. Kol Yisrael b'nei Malachim. Taka true. Every Jew deserves to be very wealthy, and every Jew deserves to have the most expensive clothing and the most expensive shem and verit to shmir every day. But halacha l'maaseh, we don't pass on like that. Not by the balchayt, and not by the refuah of the Shabbos. We don't accept his opinion. Okay, so that's the gist of the Mishnah, that refuah, they only asked refuah midrabanan in a fashion that it's nikkur. If it's not nikkur, they never asked it before. So first the Gemara goes through a discussion regarding the facts that appear in the Mishnah. Mishnah assumes that if a person has a toothache, one way to solve the problem is by rinsing your mouth with vinegar. So the Gemara asks the kasha from the Pasuk in Mishlei. Pasuk in Mishlei says that something is harmful, just like smoke is bad for the eyes, and just like vinegar is bad for the teeth, so too the Pasuk describes something as terrible. So you see that vinegar has a negative effect on the teeth. So how does Mishnah say over here that uses the refuah? So the Gemara says, Shani, the Gemara gives an answer. Okay, so the answer is that it is good. When you have a toothache, so it will help. You won't feel the pain. You won't feel the pain if you're going to gargle with vinegar. Okay. Then the Gemara goes into the halachic discussion. We'll skip the first 10 lines about the metzias. The Gemara comes out that it does help, the vinegar does help. The whole parah gives you eitzes about what is medically advised and what is not medically advised. And the Rashba quotes from the Gemara that we don't follow any of these medicines. Same in Gittin. There's the whole Gemara Gittin and Gemara Moed Kotten has different medical advice. We don't follow any of the advice that the Gemara has. Okay. In each generation, you have to ask the doctors what they think. So now the Gemara has the main discussion. It says in the Mishnah, Lo yigam Abraham es hachoymet, you shouldn't gargle with vinegar. Abo metabahu kedarka, that's permissible. Freg the Gemara, Ibo hatanya, but we have a brisa that seems to contradict the Mishnah. Lo yigam meopolit, just says you're not allowed to hold vinegar in your mouth and then spit it out right away. But you're permitted to hold the vinegar in your mouth and then to swallow it. And from our Mishnah, it would appear that that's also not allowed. The Omer Abai says, no, that's what it means in our Mishnah. You have to press it into the Mishnah, even though it's not so clear. That's what it means. Not only is a mutav a metabol hu kedarki, you see from the second line, from the next line in the Mishnah, just says metabol hu kedarki, you can dip the challah into the vinegar and chew it. You can dip your chicken into the vinegar, you can pour a lot of vinegar on your vegetable salad, and you'll be eating a lot of vinegar. So it sounds from the Mishnah, it's only muta agav something else. But gameo bolea sounds like it's also. So Abai says, no, it's not true. When it says in the first line in the Mishnah, lo yigameo bohem misachem, means you shouldn't hold in your mouth, it shouldn't be megameo opole. But megameo bolea is muta. And Robert disagrees with Abaye. Now, whenever there's a machlekes Abai v'Rove, we always pass like Rove, except for the six cases of Yalkagam. So here, if you know how to read the tiny letters here, the letter He on Abai indicates that we pass aloha like Abai. So the Gemara is going to explain in the next 10 lines that Rove backed out and finally came along to Abai's way of thinking. He backed out from his opinion. So we're going to learn now what his original thoughts were before he backed out. Rava Amar, originally, so it comes out in the end of the story, there is no machlokes Abai v'Rava. Rava realized that he made a mistake and Abai is right. Okay. But originally, initially, Rava Amar, initially, Rava thought that it's not so. Afina teima megameya uboleya, even just to have an extra amount of vinegar in your mouth without... To have an extra amount, even if you're not going to spit it out, to have an extra amount in your mouth, you're going to swallow it, is also sometimes not allowed, sometimes it is allowed. The Brisa says it's allowed. From the Mishnah, it would appear it's not allowed. Because Mishnah only permits you, Ava metabel hu kedakon and sapin is rapid. It means by dipping other things in. But megamea baleya, from the Mishnah, sounds as awesome. And the Brisa in Beitza Yitzchah says beferish that it's mutter. So it's a contradiction. So Rabbi says, certain times of the day it's aser, and other times of the day it's mutter. When is it also? When is it mutter? Kan lefnei tibul, kan lachat tibul. If before he started eating the meal, and the practice is that you're dipping things into, you're dipping challah and chicken and other things into vinegar, and apparently the swallowing the vinegar is a common practice before you start the meal, then it's even mutter not only to dip things into the vinegar, but even to hold the vinegar in your mouth and to swallow. That's the braisa that's quoted from Beitza. And our Mishnah goes, Lachatibul, after he already finished, he's holding by the next stage in the meal. And Kefi Minig Amokam, nobody holds any vinegar, nobody dips any more in things into vinegar. At that point in the meal, whatever, after the chopped liver, after the soup, or after the gefilte fish, whatever stage, after the chon, whatever stage you're holding by in the meal, you're holding by dessert. So no one's, now it's not the time to dip things in vinegar. So at that time, it's going to be a refuah hanikeres if you're going to hold vinegar in your mouth, even if you're going to swallow it later on. One stage in the meal it'll be nikr, that is l'shem refu, another stage it will not be nikr. Freg di Gemara, Akasha, Rava, and this is why Rava is going to back out from this opinion. Gemara asked Akasha, but if the way the Chachamim set up the prohibition of refu b'Shabbos is only if it's refu hanikeres, only if it's conspicuous and obvious, that is l'shem refu, so why shouldn't we say v'neima, why don't we say mid l'fnei tibul shori? Since early, at an earlier stage in the meal, it would be mutter, would not be refuah hanikeres. So lachatibul nami shari. So even at a later stage in the meal, it should also not be called refuah hanikeres. Even though at that point it is nikar, why shouldn't Rava be of the opinion that it's only us to have a refuah hanikeres if it's nikar all day long, all 24 hours of Shabbos and Yontif in Yom Kippur? Because we know that that's what Rava said in a totally different context. There's another halacha. That's only osur if it's nikar. Midirabbanan, on the level of deraisa, it doesn't make any sense that there should be a din deraisa that only is osur if it's nikar. If it's not nikar, it's mutter. That's a din derabbanan of something like a marisayin. They ask it something midirabbanan, only if it's nikar, only if it's obvious that it's l'shem kach. It's not nikar, not. And then Rava gave his definition of nikar. It has to be nikar all day long. If sometime in Shabbos or Yom Tov, even if today it's always, let's say today on Yom Kippur, it's always nikar should have been asa. But since on Shabbos it would not have been nikar, so even on Yom Kippur it should also be mutter. It's only asa, this activity is only asa mid rabbanon if it's nikar on Shabbos and Yom Tov and on Yom Kippur. But if there's sometime on Shabbos, Yom Tov, and Kippur when it's not nikar, then it's mutter even at the times that it is nikar. What is that prohibition? So that's what the Gemara starts pulling in from Beitza on Daf Yutches. And Beitza, there is a four-way machlokes Amoraim regarding a din in the Mishnah. Rav is one of the Amoraim who's involved over there. That's why Tosfos here raises an issue. How did they know that Rav backed out from this sheet and maybe he backed out from the sheet in Beitza? The Mishnah says in Beitza on Daf Yutzainam and Beitza is about Yontif, the laws of Yontif. So these Hillel have an argument with Beis Shammai, and Beis Hillel, we pass on like the Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel distinguish between an Adam who is Tameh as opposed to Kelim which are Tameh. If you have pots and pans or forks and knives or glasses that are Tameh, you're not allowed to be Toiv of them on Yontif, or clothing that's Tameh for that matter. Clothing is also Mekabotum. You have to be Toiv all of the Kelim on Erev Yontif. But if a person is Tameh, he's permitted to go to Mikveh on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Chassidim go to mikveh all the time on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Even the Misnagdim don't go to mikveh all the time, but their wives go to mikveh on Leil Shabbos and Leil Yom Tov. So we assume, like the Desilu, that people who are tamei are permitted to be toivel on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Kelim lefnei Shabbos, the Adam b'Shabbos, kelim that are tamei b'Silu require tefillah and erev Shabbos. But an Adam who's tamei may be toivel in the mikveh on Shabbos. So the Gemara wants to know, why did they silo? What's the basis for this prohibition? On the level of their eyes, what could be wrong? What malacha are you doing? You take a tummy to get pot and you tovel in the mikveh and you remove the tumor. What malacha their eyes is this? On the level of their eyes, we assume there's no prohibition. Some kind of an Issa de Rabbanon, so whatever the Issa de Rabbanon is, why does it only apply to Kalim? Why doesn't it also apply to Adam? So the Gemara has four opinions. So the first opinion is Rabba, Omar Rabba, the bottom line on Yud Zainam and Aleph, going over to the top line on Yud Ches and Beis. Rabba is the one who explained Zereshem Yavarenu Dalaram is Bishus Arab. He's the one who explained why if Purim falls out in Eretz Yisrael, Purim, Shushan Purim falls out on Shabbos once in a while, so you're not allowed to read the Megillah on Shushan Purim. Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos by us every so often. Sukkot falls out on Shabbos every so often. So there's always one day of Sukkot that falls out on Shabbos, but the first day of Sukkot, when the Netilas Lulav is deraisa all over the world, so still Chachamim were mevatel the mitzvah of Netilas Lulav and mevatel the mitzvah deraisa of Ki Yashoifer when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos and so on. Zereshem Yavirena Dalaram is Bishvus Sarab. So that's Rabbah's explanation. He says we're afraid that the person may be so excited to do the mitzvah of Tfilas Kelem, the Kelem Atome, he may be so involved in the mitzvah of the Tfilas Kelem, he'll forget, and he'll carry the Kelem in the street. And Adam, whose tummy, there's no problem. Adam, who walks in the street, people are permitted to walk in the street. There's no Isra of Haitzah if you walk in the street. You're not carrying anything. You mean, what do you mean he's getting so carried away that the Kelem Atome? What mitzvah is there? I don't know. That's what the Gemara assumes. He, I don't know if it's a mitzvah. He wants to eat Maisa Sheni. He wants to eat Chumah. He wants to eat Kotchim. He wants to be made in a state of Tahari. It doesn't matter. If you eat Toichlam Tmeim, some of the Rabbanon makes you Tomei. Tumas Sagviyam. So he wants to remain Tahar, and he wants to see to it that all of his pots and pans are Tahar. So that's what Rabbi says. We're afraid the fellow will Shema Yavirenu Dalaram is Bishusarab. The Gemara asked the question, Shemi Avirenu only makes sense on Shabbos. On Yom Tov, you're permitted to carry things that you have to carry, that you need in the other location. So why does it, this Mishnah is in Maseches Beitzah. So why does it say in Maseches Beitzah that you're not permitted to be Tovel or Kelim Tmeim on Yom Tov? You should say it's only Yosser on Shabbos. The Gemara says it's a good Kasha. The answer they come up with is the Zera Yom Tov Otu Shabbos. Whatever they prohibited Midirabbanon on Shabbos, everything applies to Yom Tov as well. So he says, the Kasha, why don't you consider that Exera L'Exera? The old prohibition of being Tovel Kelim on Shabbos is only Shem B'Avirein and Dalaram is Bishus Rabim. And on Yom Tov, you're permitted to carry, so you don't allow on Yom Tov lest there'll be Tovel on Shabbos. And on Shabbos per se, there's nothing really wrong. It's just Exera Shem B'Avirein. Why is not Exera L'Exera? Tosha has a one-line Tosha on Yud Chesem. And they say, it's not considered Exera L'Exera. It means all the laws of Shabbos are carried over to Yom Tov. We don't make any distinction between Shabbos and Yom Tov. So this is Rabbah's explanation, Gzeira de Rabbah. Shema Yavaran Dalaramas goes, the bulk of the Gemara goes like that. That's more than two-thirds of the way down the Omer, Yud Ches Amud Aleph. Then they come up, Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef was a contemporary of Rabbah, Rav Yosef B'Chaverim. He gives a different explanation. He says, you're not allowed to be Tovel Kalim on Shabbos and Yom Tov, Gzeira Shema Yischot. The Ike Gzeira Midirabbana goes on clothing that you can squeeze out. And there's some kind of a prohibition. What's the Easter? What's the Easter in squeezing out that you'd be Tovel the Kalim in the water? If you squeeze out the water on Shabbos Yom Tov, that's some kind of a malacha or another. That's what the long Taisus is going to discuss by us. The bottom Taisus on Kuf Yud Aleph and Aleph that goes over Talmud Beis. What's wrong? There is obviously something wrong. You're not allowed to squeeze out the water that's absorbed in clothing. Sounds like it's an Issa Deraisa to squeeze out the water. Otherwise, it would be a Gzeira L'Gzeira to say you're not allowed to be Tovel Begodim on Shabbos and Yom Tov Gzeira Shema Yischot if the whole Schita per se is only with the Rabbos. It sounds like it's an Issa Deraisa. So that's what Tosfos is going to go into a long dissertation. What's wrong? So then the Gemara says, well, wait a minute, but you're not allowed to be toivel forks and knives either, pots and pans either. So what's Shayach Shem Yitzchok? You can't squeeze out the metal, you can't squeeze out the glass. Gemara says, you're right, it's a gzeirah. It's a gzeirah, hani, otu hani. The ik gzeirah, the Rabbana really was that they don't want you to be toivel clothing that's tamei. On Shabbos and Yom Tov, gzeirah Shem Yitzchok. Adam, there's nothing to squeeze out. Right? There's the hair. So somehow they're not worried about the hair. The person is going to be told of the mikvah, there's nothing to squeeze out. Alright, so what about the kelim that there's also nothing to squeeze out? Forks and knives, plates, pots and pans. So the Gemara says it's a gzera hani otu hani. Okay. The third explanation the Gemara gives is Rabibi. Rabibi says it's a gzera shema yashen. We are afraid if we'll allow people to be tevel kelim on Shabbos and Yom Tov, so people work a whole week, they have no time to go to take things to the mikveh. So the person will save up all of the things till Shabbos and Yom Tov, and then in the middle of the week, he or someone else in the family may make a mistake. They may by mistake put some isosheni in the pot or the pan, and put some chumen, and put some food in, and then eat it, and by mistake they'll become tummy. They won't realize it, and then they'll do something which they're not allowed to do. I don't know, later on they may eat isosheni, not realizing they just became tummy by eating food that was tummy, because they were having this pot and pan. They have the pot and pan sitting around the house for a week or two till they have time to take to the mikvah on Shabbos and Yom Tov. That's Gzeirah Shema Yashen. Then the Gemara finally quotes Rava. Rava gives the fourth reason. Rava Amar, that's all the way on the bottom of Yud Ches Amud Aleph. He's the fourth time. And the Gemara is not prepared to say that Rava. The Gemara says Rava must have backed out. So Tosfos says, how did the Gemara know what he backed out? Maybe he backed out. He holds like the other three explanations of the Gemara. So Tosfos gives you a whole historical explanation why the Gemara doesn't want to assume that he backed out from this. So Rava Omar, Rava says the fourth reason for the Mishnah, that is Mesakin Mone Midrabbonim. It's Mesakin Mone if you have a kli which is tame, so you can't use it for certain purposes. Once you tame a kli, then you can use it for Eichlim and for Mashkim and so on, for Truman, for Maisesheni and Kachin. So that's Mesakin Mone. But there's Mesakin Mone on Odom as well. So if a person is tovel in the mikveh, that should also be forbidden. That should also be forbidden. So Rava says it's not nirik in Mesakin Mone. The Issa de Rabbanon of Mesakin Mone, it's not an Issa de Raisa. So Rava says it's a nirik in Mesakin Kli. It's a marisain. On the level of the Raisa, for sure it's not Mesakin Mone. Even with the Rabbanon, it's only a nirik in Mesakin Mone, and Odom is nirik in Mekar. If a person will be tevel in the mikveh to remove his tumah, it's true that if it would have been really mesakin midrabbanon, so it would have been us. It's only nirikim mesakin. It's only if it's really nika. So since if an adam, sometimes a person is perspired and he's so hot, he wants to cool off by just sitting in a bath of water by cooling himself off. He's perspired or whatever. So if an adam is tevel in the mikveh, it's nirikim eka. So then the Gemara asked the Kasha, Nirikim Maker is Niche on Shabbos and Yontav, Tenach b'Shabbos of the Yontav, B'Yom HaKippurim, Ma'ika L'Meimar. How are you going to explain how an Odom is permitted to be Tovel on Yom Kippur? An Odom who's Tomei, the Mishnah says, the Kalim which are Tomei are not allowed to be Tovel. Odom who's Tomei may be Tovel. It doesn't say explicitly in the Mishnah that it's Mutar on Yom Kippur, it just says Shabbos and Yontav. So the Gemara is assuming that Yom Kippur is the same. So the Yesh Kakasha, according to Rava, that the reason why there's a distinction between the Kalim and the Adam is because they only ask a tefillah and a mikveh when it's nikah, that is l'shem tikkun. And by Adam, it's not nikah because nira can make a freg the Gemara, but on Yom Kippur, that one of the Hamisha in Noim is Rechitza. Rechitza is also on Yom Kippur, so you can't say nira can make a. So why don't we say that for Adam to be tovel and a mikveh on Yom Kippur, should be Aser. So the Gemara doesn't want to say that it's Taka Aser. The Gemara says that's out of the question. So they pull up a Brisa. They dig up a Brisa that says, Kol Chai B'Tfilas Tevel K'Darkan Bein B'Tisha Ba Bein B'Yom HaKippur. That's a Beferish Brisa that we're not going to switch. No one's going to reverse that Psak to say that the Mishnah that allows Tfilas Odom is only on Shabbos Yom Tov, not on Yom Kippur. No, that's against the Brisa. The Brisa says, Kol Chai B'Tfilas, whoever is Tomei, wants to be Tovel in the Mikveh, to become Tohar, is permitted to be Tovel, Kidarkon, whenever the regular Zman would be. Some people are tevel in the morning of the seventh day. They need shiva nikiyim. Zav, zava. Some people are tevel in the morning. What is it based on that you tevel in the morning? It's based on the halacha mitzvah sayam kekulay. It's not that it's based on the halacha. That's what mitzvah sayam kekulay is derived in that pasuk. The pasuk tells us that a zav and a zava can make a bedika in the morning of the seventh day. Then they have a right to be tevel. So that pasuk is what teaches us to call a terakula to other areas of halacha that we have a klal of mitzvah sayam kekulay. Other people who are tummy, you don't apply mikzvah sayam kukul, let's say a nida, or your letters. A nida, you can't say, let her wait till the morning of the seventh day, and then she'll be tevel. No, you can't apply mikzvah kukul by a nida. So she has to wait till the 7 days are completed. There's a difference between a zava and a nida. A zava, you do allow mikzvah kukul, because the zava has to have 70 keys. A nida doesn't need 70 keys. Let's say a nida had dam, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Shabbos morning, and the dam ends on Shabbos afternoon. So in our Torah it says in the Chumash, as long as there's no longer dam on Matzoy Shabbos, the woman can be tevel on Matzoy Shabbos, the 7 days of Nida Rav. She doesn't need any Nikiyim at all. She doesn't require any Nikiyim at all. So since there's no activity that she has to do, so you can't apply Mikzaseim Kekula. Mikzaseim Kekula only means if there's some Kiyum that a person has to do on each of the days, and when you did your Kiyum, let's say first one is observing Shiva, one is observing Shloshim. So when one observes Shiva, so there's a Kiyum HaMitzvah Midirabbanon. Shiva is Midirabbanon, Shloshim is Midirabbanon. The person observes by abstaining from certain things. He doesn't do Bikumbi Yaseh. By abstaining from certain activities, so the person is in the fulfillment of the Mitzvah Midirabbanon of Shiva and fulfillment of the Mitzvah Midirabbanon of Shloshim. So we say Mitzvah Sayom Kekulay on the last day of that unit, the last day of Shiva and the last day of Shloshim. So then we say Mikzah Sayyam Kekula. He's in fulfillment, is enough on the last day. You can't say Mikzah Sayyam Kekula on Shabbos and Yom Tov. One of the Achronim has that kasha. The Ramam Yipanu has that kasha. Why don't you say you'll observe Shabbos a little bit in the morning and Shabbos? That's it. A Yom Tov, you'll observe a little bit Yom Tov in the morning. And you say Mikzah Sayyam Kekula. It applies even if it's only one day. The Gemara has a din. Sometimes there's Avelis only for one day. If a person heard a Shmur, a Choyka, he hears after 30 days, one of the relatives died a long time ago, and they didn't tell this person about it till after Shmur Rechoka, means he didn't find out until Lach Alamed Yom. That's the question. 30 days after what? 30 days after the death of his relative, or 30 days after the Kvura Bekever Shal Yisrael. So that's a machloikis. What happens if they notify the person? It's already 30 days after the other person died, after the relative died, but it's not yet 30 days after he was buried Bekever Yisrael. So that's a machlokes, and we're makel on that. Halakha de ram makel baba, we're makel on that. The chatchila, if they're holding it a secret, they should wait. If they don't want to tell them right away, then they shouldn't have to observe Shiva. So the proper practice should be they should wait to tell them after 30 days passed, after the kvura, the kevah Yisrael. Sometimes there's a case that someone died, and he didn't know who he was, so they buried him in the city. A person died without any identification on his body, and then they bury him in the Goyisha cemetery. So that's not Kevah Yisrael. So then you have to wait. According to those who shown him a hold, it's 30 days after the Kfur, means 30 days after the Kfur of the Kevah Yisrael. So look, Hatchila, it's proper if you want to relieve a person, you want to make it easier, so you shouldn't have to observe Shiva, you shouldn't have to observe Shloshim. So you tell a person, you wait till after 30 days after the Kfur of the Kevah Yisrael. And if by mistake they found out about it within 30 days after the Kfur of the Kevah Yisrael, but after 30 days after the death, so then we're makel on that, because Allah Kedemah makel bal. So the din says that if a person hears a Shmur Rechayka, he didn't hear about the death within the first 30 days, then he only observes Avelis for one day. So the Gemara says, even on that one day of Avelis, he also applied the rule of Mikzah Sayyam Kekula. Not only like 7 days for a Zava, for a Zava, so a long stretch of time that's called the Maloi, it's on the last day of the Maloi, so say Mikzah Kekula. Even if it's only one day, also say Mikzah Kekula. So why don't we say, the Ramani Panu asks, why don't we say Mikzah Kekula on Shabbos and Yom Tov? So the answer is, that's a calendaric day. The Pashto says, that's a calendaric day. A day on the calendar, you don't say Mikzah Kekula. The second half of the day is also Shabbos. The end of the day is also Yom Tov. It's also Yom Kippur. This Klal Mikzah Kekula only applies when you have a malos. A malos means a unit of time, sometimes one day, sometimes 7 days, sometimes 30 days, whatever it happens to be, that's superimposed on the calendar. A person is makabal naziris on himself. So it's not fixed in the calendar which 30 days. He may decide 50 days, 80 days, 100 days, whatever. So whatever, you can't have a Naziris of less than 30 days. You can have more than 30 days. So Naziris, the Gemara says, Amachloikis, and Nazir, Dafeng, we paskin that you apply Mikzasiyam Kukuloi, even to Naziris. Why? Because it's a malos that's superimposed on the calendar. It's not that you look on the calendar, you know which days the person has to become a Nazir. Whenever he says, Hareini Nazir, starting from this day on. So then he becomes a Nazir. He says, Hareini Nazir, starting from next Sunday. So be it. So he'll start the Naziris next Sunday. So whenever it's super, Avelis, Naziris, and Tumah, and Zav, and Zavah, these are also superimposed on the calendar. So then you say Mikzayim Kukula. But Shabbos and Yom Tov, that's a calendaric day. So we don't apply Mikzayim Kukula on that. So the those are the people who are Tovel Bayom. Anida can't be Tovel Bayom. You can't apply Yoledis. Can't be Tovel Bayom because you can't apply Mikzayim Kukula to the need and to the Yoledis because there's nothing that they have to do. They don't need any Mikim. They don't have to make any Bedikas. As long as the 7 days are up, then the woman can be tovel in the mikveh. If she had dam after the 7 days, so she just became a zovah. So that prevents her from going to the mikveh. Mm-hmm. Or yoledes. A yoledes doesn't have to make any bedikas. After she had a baby boy, so after the 7 days are up, she goes to the mikveh. She had a baby girl, she's tameah for 2 weeks. She has to talmud shvayim kenidosa. So she has to wait the 2 weeks. So she doesn't have to do anything in the middle of the 2 weeks, in the middle of the 7 days. He just waits this month. So if you're just waiting and there's no kiyum, so you can't apply mikzayim kukula. It only applies if you're doing some kind of a nihug and you did the nihug on the beginning of the last day of the malos. If the whole malos is 1 day, so it's only 1 day, okay? You don't say mikzayim kukula every day. You don't say, let's say, each day of Shiva, the Ovel will say mikzayim kukula, call it quits in the morning, then the next day start again. You only say at the end of the malos. If the malos is 1 day, so the first day is the last day. Okay, so you say mikzayim kukula on the first day because it's the last day.
Isn't there been by spiritual owner, you hold that people who, I guess, feel great for life of Omer, does there a lot of things that it's that you captured as part of the Hajj, because it's like a kukula, that's in the middle of the Hajj,
the original mikzayim kukula really only applies. It happens that the Talmid Rebbe Akiva happened to have died that season of the year. There's nothing intrinsic in that season that should be Mechayev Avelis. They happened to have died then, so therefore we observe Avelis then. So some have the practice that they observe Avelis till Lag BaOmer, including Lag BaOmer, just the first 33 days. So then you say Mikzayim Kukula on the 33rd day, that's the last day of the Malos. But those who observe Avelis of Sfira starting from Rosh Chodesh, past Lag BaOmer, so then they had to violate the Avelis on Lag BaOmer, they had to violation of the meaning, is because Lag BaOmer is treated as a yontus. But then it doesn't make it, it's not based on Mikzayim Kukula. Mean that day is counted as one of the 33 days of Avelis, not because Mikzayim Kukula. It wouldn't apply. I don't remember what he says, but he's not to be taken literally. He doesn't. If he writes like that, he doesn't mean the klal of mikzayim kukula that appears in the Gemara. He's saying his own melitza, that since they observed a little bit of avelus on that day, so it also counts as the one of the 33 days. But it's not really the klal of mikzayim kukula. Mikzayim kukula only applies the last day of the malos. So that's where the Gemara has such a brisa, that there are some people who are tevil in the morning, and some people are tevil in the morning based on the rule of mikzayim kukula, that's zav and zava, and other people need the yoledes are only tevil balaylo, because you can't apply mikzayim kukula because there is no nihug. They just have to wait till the 7 days or the 14 days are up. So if you're waiting, why should you say mikzayim kukula? If you do a nihug, if you have to do some kind of a kiyum, so then you say the kiyum that one did on the last day is enough with the nihug in the morning, and you call it quits. So there is a brisa that says, "Kol chai b'tfil, even though on Tisha B'av and Yom Kippur there are chamisha inuyim, one of the chamisha inuyim is rechitza, chitza sicha mil santash mehamita achila shtiya, the chamisha inuyim. So one of the inuyim is rechitza. Nonetheless, it says that chai b'tfil is could be tovel and kedarkon. Whenever this man is, if it would have been another day of the year on the calendar, it would have been tovel." So the Tevel and Kedarkon on Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur as well. What is the Yesod HaHeter? Why is it with us? The Taisus explains. Taisus explains on Kuf Kof Aleph later on Masechah Shabbos. Rabbi Kivega refers you to the Taisus later, I think. Kuf Kof Aleph. No. Or somebody refers you to the Taisus later. The Taisus Kuf Kof Aleph explains that the Yisr of Echitza on Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur is only if it's Echitza Shal Tainuk. That's the definition. If it's not mechitzu shel tanin dat, how do you know? That that person has dirty hands. He was walking and his feet got, he walked into mud, or his face is all greasy. So that's not mechitzu shel tanin. If he wants to wash off the dirt, that's mutter. That's why Tosfos writes in the last perek in Yuma that our practice is that we wash netilas yadayim in the morning when we wake up on Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur. Why is that? Because the Gemara says when a person wakes up after sleeping all night long, there's a ruach rosh harava yadayim, and he's going to touch his hands to his body or to food, and it's going to be a problem. It's going to cause a hezek to his body. So Tosfos says that that's like hoyu yadav meluch lachas. If he has a ruach rosh, the shor ala yadayim, that's the equivalent of yoda meluch lochus, so that's not a rechitzu shal tainim. That's why it's mutter. But it's only mutter to the extent that it's necessary. You're not allowed to wash all the way the whole arm. When you wake up in the morning on Tisha B'Av Yom Kippur, you're only allowed to wash the bare minimum that's really required. So that's a machlokes Rashi and Tosfos in Kol Abasa, how much netilas yadayim is required when you're washing. So the Gemara says if you're washing for bread, or you're washing, you wake up in the morning, you have to wash so far. And if you're washing, a kohen is washing for the purpose of kiddush adayim v'raglayim, or the purpose, or the kohen is washing in order to duchen, then he has to wash further than a normal person washes for bread. So where is it? How much does a kohen have to wash, and how much do we have to wash? So that's a machlekes Rashi and Tosfos. So Rashi's opinion is that everybody has to wash till the wrist. When you wake up in the morning and when you wash for bread, you have to wash the whole hand up until the wrist. And if you're a kohen and you want a duchen, then you're supposed to wash all the way till the elbow. No, we don't know of any kohanim who wash till the elbow. They barely wash to the wrist. That they're supposed to. That's medina. They're supposed to wash till the wrist. No one washes to the elbow. So obviously we have adopted shittas ha-tesis. We don't follow a Rashi. The tesis shita is that for the kohanim who want a duchen or want to do avodah beis hamikdash, they need kiddush daim raglaim, so they just wash till the wrist, and that's the whole yad. And slightly less than that is needed if you want to wash for bread, or you want to wash when you wake up in the morning. So what's slightly less than that? The joint after the wrist. So that's the end of the fingers, till the knuckles and the thumb, till the end of the thumb. So for the purpose of netilas yadayim shachris, so for the purpose of netilas yadayim for bread, you have to wash till the knuckles. Now, on the normal circumstances, a normal day of the year, if it's not Tisha B'Av Yom Kippur, so we want to be machmet to satisfy Rashi's opinion as well. I never saw any kohanim machmet to satisfy Rashi's opinion to wash till the elbow, but on a normal day of the year, if you have a little extra water, the Gemara says that if the Gemara says in Erevin that it's a segula for Ashiris, if you wash with extra water. So we have water, what's the problem? It doesn't cost so much. The water tax is not so much. It's not a drought over here. So we take water and we pour on the whole hand, on the whole wrist, all the way till the wrist on a normal day. But on Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur, when it's only permissible to wash a rechitza sheina shel tainig, the rechitza that's necessary, and to take off the ruach rosh is necessary, because that's like yodah meluch lochos, so then we're careful to follow, to be medactic, only to do like this, only to wash till the knuckles. It says in Shulchan Aruch, unless the fellow is a kohen and he plans to duchen later in the day, so then he's going to have to wash his hands till the wrist. So let him wash in the morning till the wrist. Let him wash in the morning till the wrist and say the bracha at that time. So Nachamo. So the halacha says that it's only forbidden. Rechitz is one of the chamisha inuyim on Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur, but it's only us if it's a rechitz shatang. It's not a rechitz shatang, then it's mutam. So why is it that this is not called the rechitza shel tainis? Let's see. So there are two girsas in the Gemara later. On Kuf Chaf Aleph, Amud Aleph, if you look in the top Tosfos says, Hachi Garsinon, Avaloi Garsinon. They have two girsas, what it says there. So they think that the incorrect girsa in the Gemara says that this issue depends on another. Is it permissible for a person? Not is it permissible. Why does the Braisa say that it's permissible? Kol chayv tefilas tavon kedarkan ben b'tisha ben b'yom kippurim. Why does it say that in the Braisa on our daf, and that's quoted in Beit Zadav Yitches? So the reason why it's mutter is because that depends on a machlekes hatanoim. Because tefilah b'zman mitzvah. The reason machlekes hatanoim in Nida, the main place is Masechas Nida, then it's in the first Perek in Yuma, then it's in the last Perek in Yuma, then it's in Shavuos, it's scattered about, then it's in Erechin, scattered about all over the place. You have a machlekes hatarayim. When it says in the Chumash Berachah, it says kol b'sara b'mayim. Here, take a look. The top Rashi on Kuf Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph. Tefillah b'zman mitzvah. Dichsiv. Roya lufnas erev yirchatz b'moyim. The pasuk happens to be talking about a balkeri. If a man is a tamei because balkeri, roya lufnas erev has to be toivel in the afternoon in order to have a higher shemesh. Yirchatz b'moyim. So the half of the Tanoim understand that the pasuk means you're obligated to be toivel in the mikveh to remove the tumah at the earliest available opportunity. If a person wakes up in the morning and he sees that he became a balkeri, so then he has to be toivel in the mikveh that day in order to have a higher shemesh, so that by the time it comes Tesa Kalam, he'll be completely tar. Because those Tanoim translate the pasuk, Girchatz Mamoim, he must be toivel in the mikveh. Girchatz means he must be toivel. And the other Tanoim disagree, and they hold Tefillah Bizman Alav Mitzvah. That's the next Rashi. What do you mean Tefillah Bizman Alav Mitzvah? Laman Diomar, Rashi writes, Lav Mitzvah, the third line from the top in Rashi, on Kuf Chafalat Manav. Laman Diomar, according to the Tanoim, I think that Tefillah Bizman Alav Mitzvah, so how do you read the pasuk that he quoted on the top line, V'hoya Lichnoi Serev Yichat V'amoyim? Lav Mitzvah Kro, Eitzah Toibu Kamashmalon, Kedei Shiyav Shimsha B'yom, The pasuk doesn't mean he must be toivel in the mikveh. It just means if he'll be toivel, a recommendation. If he'll be toivel in the mikveh today, then he will, before the shkia, then when it comes to shkia, that'll be harav shemesh, and he'll be potter from the whole tumah. And he'll be a free man, he'll be able to do whatever he wants. If he won't be toivel, not mechuyev. If he won't be toivel, he can remain tummy for the rest of his life, if he so chooses. He's not obligated to be mitar himself. Tefillah b'zman alav mitzvah, sinishke mitzvah. If he doesn't want it, he doesn't have to be toivel. That's how Rashi learns the machlokes hatanoim. With the tefillah b'zman mitzvah, tefillah b'zman alav mitzvah, when it says yirchatz b'moyim, does that mean you're obligated to be toivel? Or it just tells you, if you'll be toivel, you'll become tohar, but it doesn't really mean you're mechuyev to be toivel. One could have interpreted in the Gemara differently, that everybody holds tefillah is a mitzvah, they only argue whether tefillah bizmana is a mitzvah. Everybody holds tefillah is a mitzvah, yirchatz b'moyim is a mitzvah, but the machlokes is whether lifnei serev. The Chumash says on the same day he woke up in the morning and he realizes that he was a balkeri, so he has a mitzvah to be toivel in the mikveh. Is there a mitzvah min atar to be toivel at the earliest available opportunity? Or do you say, no, that's only an etzah toivel. But everyone agrees that it is a mitzvah to become tohar. Can read the machloek is two ways. Can read the Rashi also two ways. Not so conclusive in the Rashi. L'man diyom alav mitzvah kro etzah toivek mashma. What part of the pasuk is an etzah toivel? V'hoyu lifnei serev, on the same day in the afternoon before the shkig you should be toivel. That part is etzah toivel. But the second part, yirchatz mamayim, is a tzivah. You must be toivel in the mikveh. Or the whole pasuk is an etzah toivah kamashmalon. Maybe the whole pasuk is an etzah toivah. You look in the Rambam, in the Sefer Mitzvahs, the Rambam does not count this. He doesn't count the tefillah bizmana mitzvah. I don't think. You've got to look again. I don't remember. I don't think he counted it as a mitzvah. There is a machlokes in Gaonim, how to pass from the tefillah bizmana mitzvah, tefillah bizmana lav mitzvah. It's in the first perek in Yuma. Here it says, Yuma davov amin aleph. So there's a Taisus in Yuma Davab where Taisus has the machlokes Rabbi in a time with his brother-in-law. Had the machlokes. The Rav HaGaonim, look in the Sefer Balei HaNefesh Lo HaRaivid. Balei HaNefesh is a Sefer by the Raivid which has all the laws of Taras HaMishpacha, has all the laws of Mikveh, Tvila, Chatzitza, all the laws that are relevant for married people that have to do with Taras HaMishpacha. So just like the Ravid wrote Hasogas on the Balamor, so too we have Hasogas of the Balamor and the Ravid's Balei HaNefesh. They each wrote Hasogas on each other. So they argue at this machlokes. So they presented that in the days of the Gaonim, the Rov of the Gaonim held that we pass Tefillah Bizman HaMitzvah. And as the years went by, so the Rov of the Rishonim held Fakir. The Rov of the Rishonim held Tefillah Bizman HaLav Mitzvah. It's not a mitzvah. The Taisvis in the first Perek in Yuma, Davav and Allah, proves it. That tefillah bizmana is lav mitzvah. If he would say tefillah bizmana mitzvah, we would insist that every girl should go to mikveh. Every single girl has to go to mikveh because tefillah bizmana mitzvah. And every man who becomes tamei has to go to mikveh in order to remove the tumah. Every balkeri has to go to mikveh. You know, chassidim go to mikveh in order to daven. Because the Gemara says in the end of the second parak in Brachas, that Ezra made a takana that a man who's a balkari is not permitted to learn Torah, is not permitted to daven. Then the Gemara says, in the later generations, in the times of the Tanoim, they repealed the Gzera, they repealed this takanas. Ezra made 10 takanas. So this takana was repealed. And the reason why they repealed it is because based on the pasuk halakot dvari koesh niyum Hashem, that divrei Torah is like esh, just like esh is not mekabel tumah, so to divrei Torah not mekabel tumah. So the Gemara only says explicitly that they repealed the takana says with respect to learning Torah. Never says b'seir that the takana says was repealed with respect to davening. So that's a machlokes harishayim. So the Rambam writes in the Mishnah Torah, the Rambam writes that the Rebbeinu Shlom can testify that I go to mikveh every day before I daven. But he says it's a midas chassidus. Mikir adin, you don't have to go to mikveh because once they repealed the takanas Ezra for Torah, so the whole takana fell apart, even for davening as well. And the Ravid disagrees with that Rambam. The Rosh and Brachas quotes the Ravid. We don't have that Ravid in the Hasagas, but the Rosh and Brachas quotes that the Ravid disagreed with the Rambam. He holds no, that they only repealed the takanas Ezra with respect to learning Torah. They never repealed it with respect to davening. So that's what the chassidim are machmer about, that they go to mikveh before they daven. To follow to be choshish for the shitas arrived that the takana says it was never repealed with respect to davening. Or the Rambam writes that it was repealed. So what was he machmer to go to mikveh for? He was machmer choshish for the shitas arrived. What is that all about? So the Kesem Mishnah talks about that. Why did the Rambam say that Sahadi Bamrayim, the Rabban Shalom is going to testify that I go to mikveh every day? So the Kesem Mishnah explains that the takana says really made sense. That a Balkari really shouldn't daven and he shouldn't learn. But in the later generations, the Rishonim say that Ezra, the Tanoim looked around and they saw that the Hamoinam is just not up to it. It's a Gzeira Shein Ravati B'Cholam Lamed, but also they had to lift the Gzeira, they had to repeal it. It was the Ein Yecholam Lamed, but in principle it really did make sense. So whenever you have such a, so that's what the Kesem Mishnah says. Whenever you have a Gzeira de Rabbanon that was repealed because the later Bezdin saw that Ein, but really it makes sense to have such a gzera. So even though the gzera is repealed, but we would recommend as Amidas Chassidus that whoever is up to it should observe the gzera. Because it really did make sense, b'shaitim. That's how the Kesem Mishnah says pshat and the Rambam. So the Chassidim who go to mikveh today is either because the choshish for the Ravid Shita or the choshish for the Rambam Shita, which the Kesem Mishnah explains not because the Rambam, not that the Rambam was tovel in the mikveh because he was choshish for the Ravid Shita. He held he was right and the others were wrong. He's a new explanation because the gzera made sense. So again, Tosfos in Yuma Davov and Aleph says that this was a machlekes in the days of the Gaonim had a paskim whether tefillah bizman and mitzvah not. Rob HaGaonim were of the opinion that tefillah bizman is mitzvah. That's how the Balamor writes in the Hasogas on the Balei HaNefesh. Then in the days of the Rishonim, after the years went by, so it was reversed. That Rob of the Rishonim held tefillah bizman a lav mitzvah, and only minority opinion was tefillah bizman a mitzvah. So the Tosfos in Yuma Davov and Aleph brings a raya that we don't paskin tefillah bizman and mitzvah. The haraya, if you would hold tefillah bizman and mitzvah, we would require of everyone, the single people, the married people, everybody has to go to mikveh. Forget about the fact that takana says it was repealed. Everyone has to go to mikveh because tefillah bizman and mitzvah. So the fact that we don't recommend, we only recommend that married women should go to mikveh, everybody else doesn't go to mikveh. So it's a right that we don't accept the opinion that tefillah bizman and mitzvah. That's the proof that Tosfos gives. We don't accept that opinion that tefillah bizman and mitzvah. And we, not only, it's not that we don't accept tefillah bizmano. It's not that we hold tefillah as a mitzvah, but it does not have to be the same day. Tefillah bechlal. A person becomes tamei. Let's say a girl becomes tamei. A girl becomes a nida, the age of 12 or so. And then she doesn't get married till the age of 20, 21, 22, whatever age she gets married. She doesn't go to mikveh for 10 years. Chashina lemisa. There's a din, and you're not allowed to postpone so long. When you have a mitzvah to do, so you're not supposed to postpone so long. 10 years, you wait to fulfill the mitzvah. Obviously, we feel not only tefillah bizmana lav mitzvah. It's not a mitzvah to be tefillah bizman. Not that they both agree tefillah is a mitzvah. They just argue whether the bizmana is a mitzvah or the bizmana is an etzah tefillah. No, the whole tefillah. We pass on the tefillah is not a mitzvah. When it says yuchatz b'moyim, we don't translate that the tummy must be tefillah in the mikveh. We translate if he'll be tefillah in the mikveh, he will become tahor. But it's not a must. We don't consider this a chiyuv. That's our Rav HaRishonim home. So this is a machlokes hatanoim, a machlokes in the days of the Gaon, a machlokes in the days of the Rishon. What the Gemara quotes on Kuf Kaf Aleph from an Aleph right before the Mishnah, Daya Tvila Bachreina, that Rashi there gives you a long story. Rashi tells you what it's talking about. There's a Mishnah in Nida and a Mishnah in Erechin. A woman had amnesia. We can understand why the women will have amnesia about this. It can sometimes be so confusing. A woman has to know whether she's a Nida or a Zava or a Yaledis. Did she have a baby girl, baby boy? So sometimes it's too much, and the woman can get a nervous breakdown, I guess, from making so many calculations. So the woman comes to the Rabbanim, to her local Orthodox rabbi, says she doesn't remember whether she's Tahora or Tamei, whether she's a Nida or Zava, Zava Gdela, Zava Ktana, whether she had a baby boy, baby girl. She doesn't remember what her situation is. So, Rabbi, what am I supposed to do? So what is she supposed to do? So the rabbi has to figure out Sofik Deraita L'chum. What could be the worst possible scenario? I don't know, she had a baby girl, just had a baby girl, she has to wait 2 weeks to become Tohar. Or that she's a Zavagdaila, she was a Zavagdaila and she had a baby girl. So she has to wait 2 weeks and plus Shivan Akim. And then let her go to Mikveh at the end. So that's what one Tana says. That's the Tanaim who say Tvila Bizman Alav Mitzvah. So they say, Daya Tvila Shetei Bachreina. Daya Tvila Bachreina, let her go to Mikveh at the end. At the end of what amount of time? At the end of what could possibly be the largest amount of time that she needs, maybe the worst possible scenario, whatever that is. And the other Tana says, no, she has to go to mikveh 35 times. Rashi quotes it. She has to go to mikveh tonight. Maybe she's a nida. Maybe the 7 days of nida are up. She has to go to mikveh tomorrow morning. Maybe she just ended Shivan Akiyam today, and tomorrow morning is the seventh day of Shivan Akiyam. She has to go to mikveh today. Maybe today is the last day of Shivan Akiyam. So that's up to the 35 tefillah. That's if you have tefillah bizman a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to be tovel at the earliest available opportunity. So safek deraisa l'chumra. Even though she won't be muteris l'barla, she won't be tahora until after she goes to all the 35 tefillahs in the mikveh. But since it's a mitzvah, tefillah bizman a mitzvah, she has to go to mikveh 35 times. Maybe she'll hit. Maybe one of them will be the correct zman of the tefillah. One chance out of 35. And maybe that they're all a mistake. Maybe she's really tahor. Maybe she didn't read any tefillah at all. But if she'll be tovel 35 times, then for sure she will have fulfilled the mitzvah of tefillah bizman mitzvah. So that's the original machlokes hatanoim. Do you say daya le tefillah b'achreina? Because tefillah bizman a lav mitzvah. But they say tefillah bizman a mitzvah, and Rashi makes a whole calculation based on the Gemara. Matzvichina lo lamed hei tefillahs. So that's the machlokes hatanoim, and that's the machlokes hagoinim, and that's the machlokes in the Rishonim, and most of the Rishonim assume la locha tefillah bizman alamim. So Tesis on Kuf Kaf Aleph and Aleph had two girsas in the Gemara. One girsa had it that this din that the Brisa says that kol chayv tefillah tovel kedarkam bein b'tisha b'av bein b'yom kippurim. We allow all the tamein to be tovel in the mikvah on tisha b'av yom kippur. What happened to the chamisha yinuyim? It's forbidden to do rechitza. So Tais says the answer is it's only also rechitza shal tainuk, and to be tovel in the mikveh is not rechitza shal tainuk. Who says? Why is to be tovel in the mikveh is not rechitza shal tainuk? The one girsa that Tais has is because it's a mitzvah. If it's, let's say the kohen gadol on Yom Kippur goes to mikveh 5 times, and he does kiddush laim raglaim 10 times. So what's the hefta for him to do? The answer is he's not doing it because he has pleasure. He's not interested in getting hanor. That's not called rechitza shal tainuk. He does it because the halacha requires it. It says in the Torah, it has to be tovel in the mikveh. Either it says in the Torah because it's a takanas chachamim, or because it's a minig. Let's say the din requires, the Gemara says in Sota, the din requires that before the kohanim duchen, they have to wash their hands. Then the minig has it that a levi pours the water on the kohen's hands, and many have the minig that the levi washes his hands with water before he washes the kohen's hands. Many don't have that minig. It's based on a Zohar. Such a meaning is based on a Zohar that the Levim wash their own hands with a cup of water before they wash the coins in. So it says in the Mate Ephraim, Mate Ephraim is the Sefer that the Mishnah Berurah quotes on every page in Hilchos Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Rabbi Ephraim Zalman Margolis, and Mate Ephraim writes that if the Minig HaMakom is that the Levim all year long wash their hands before they wash the Kohanim's hands, so even on Yom Kippur, the Levim should also wash their hands. Why? That's not called the Rechitza Shal Tainik. Even though it's not needed, there is no din, neither min HaTorah nor min HaRabbanan, but since it's a minig that they wash their hands, so they're doing it as a religious ritual, They're doing it l'shem minig, to fulfill a minig. So that's not in violation of it takes off the yisad deraisa rechitze. Even if you hold a rechitze is chamisha inoyim is a machloek yisar rishayna, whether it's an yisad deraisa derabon. Achilash dia for sure is deraisa. The Gemara says that the Gemara says in the Dorim that one is only chayv koris nefesh halos dunim benichrus. So one is only chayv koris by a violation of achilas shtiya. If someone violates the other inuyim, so there's no koris. So that led to a machlokes rishayim whether the other four inuyim are only the rabbanon, that's the Rabbeinu Tam's opinion, or the Rambam holds no, all the chamisha inuyim are derais. And we learn out from a pasuk that there's only a punishment of koris and achilas shtiya. There's no punishment for the others. So even if one will hold that the rechitza shel taina constitutes an isa deraisa, still, if the minhag hamakom is that we require of the levim all year long to wash their hands before they wash the kohen's hands, so the minhag is koveya that this is not called the rechitza shel taina, and it takes off the isa deraisa. It's not that minhag oika halacha, has nothing to do with minhag oika halacha. If the minhag is that they wash their hands, so they're not doing it l'shem taina, they're doing it l'shem hidur, l'shem mitzvah. So that's mutter. So one girsa Tosis has, that's the girsa that Tosis does not like. One girsa they have is that the only heter to be toivel in the mikvah and Tisha B'av Yom Kippur, what removes the status of a chitzu shel tainik, only if you hold tefillah bizman mitzvah. If one will pass on tefillah bizman alav mitzvah, that's basically the psak that we assume today. We assume today that tefillah bizman alav mitzvah, like most of the Rishonim, that's the Rabbeinu Tam, had a machlokes with his brother-in-law, that's in the Tosfos and Yuma, Davavim and Aleph. So we follow the Rabbeinu Tam. That's the majority opinion, that Philip is man alav mitzvah. So then there would be no heter for anybody to be tovel in the mikveh anymore on Tisha B'Av and on Yom Kippur. The heter only is because Philip is man a mitzvah. And Tosfos is not happy with that gears. Tosfos thinks that that's incorrect, that even if you hold Philip is man is lav mitzvah, it would still be permissible to be toivel in the mikvah. All the chavit tefillas toivel on kiddarkom, whenever there's man is for them to be toivel, so they can still be toivel on Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur. Why? Because the fact that it's a tefillah hametaheris, this tefillah is mitzuref to some other purpose. This removes the tumah. That itself is mevatel l'shem rechitza shel tainik. It's only rechitza shel tainik. What do you mean rechitza shel tainik? Gemara has a lashon also lahoshet etzba ktana l'mayim. A person on Tisha B'Av Yom Kippur is not allowed to stick his pinky into water. Why? That's rechitza shel tainik. What hanor does he have by sticking his pinky into water? The answer is, all rechitzas are automatically labeled as shel tainik, unless it's mitzuref l'davar achi. You don't have to judge each and every individual case whether it really is shel tainik or not. All rechitzas is called rechitza shel tainik. Even the hoshet that's b'ktana l'mayim karim, unless it's a rechitza that's l'shem, let's say, if he's yodav mulchlochois, if his hands are dirty, has a rachro on his hands, or something like that, yes, lachatotim berosho, yes, for medical purposes, or for a religious purpose, or even if tefillah bizman alav mitzvah, even if it's not a mitzvah, but it's a tefillah, that's metahir, so this tefillah is mitzurah ledavar acher, and then it's no longer labeled as a rechitza shel tainik, and then we say that it's mutar. That's the gear that the Tosfos prefers. Yeah, the Gemara there, on Kuf Chaf Aleph, and the Gemara, the last daf in Yuma, and daf peches amin aleph, that's the very end of Yuma. The Gemara discusses, among other things, Gemara discusses what is this man for Ne'ilah. On Yom Kippur, we daven in addition to Ma'ariv and Shachris and Musaf and Mincha, we daven Ne'ilah. So the Gemara has different opinions when it is man of Ne'ilah. So one opinion is that you're supposed to finish Ne'ilah on Yom Kippur before the sun sets. You can't daven Ne'ilah too early, that's another thing. The Rosh quotes, when the Hachama Barosh Ilana is, when it's a little before the sun is about to set, half an hour or so before the sun is about to set, that's the beginning of the Zman of Nila, the Hachama Barosh Ilana. And what is the latest Zman you can say Nila? So one opinion in the Tanoim is that you have to finish Nila by Shkia, you have to finish by Yom. Like Mincha. The other opinion is that as long as you began by Yom, you can finish by Laila. That's our practice. And then the third opinion is you can even begin Ne'ilah Balayla. You don't even have to begin by Yom, you can even start Ne'ilah Balayla. And then Gemara has a machlokes on the last daf in Yuma. If a person daven Ne'ilah on Matzah Yom HaKippurim, does he have to daven Ma'ariv or not? So the Gemara says it depends. If this man is the same, if he can start Ne'ilah Balayla, so then what should you have to daven Ma'ariv for? If you already daven Ne'ilah on Matzah Yom Kippur, if you began Ne'ilah Balayla, then you're Yotze Ma'ariv. There's no need to daven an additional Tefillah Ma'ariv. You got to say Kriya Shema with the brachas, that's a separate thing, but you have to say twice Tefillah. You have to say twice Amidah, so the Gemara says no. If you hold that you have to say Nila Bayom and Zmanim Myra is Balaila, so the Zmanim don't correspond. So then you have to daven Nila Bayom, you have to daven Myra Balaila. In many communities they were Machmed, they rushed there in the end of Yom HaKutz. Many communities they were Machmed to finish Nila Bayom, to finish the Chazor Sashatz of Nila before the Shkia. Most communities they don't do that because they're afraid that the Balabatim, if the Balabatim are not B'nai Torah, so the Balabatim know when you finish Nila, then you go home and you start eating. So that's why most communities, they draw out Nila until, so the Chazan finishes the Kaddish and they blow Shofar at the end of Nila when it's already the Zman that you're allowed to eat. Okay, still not supposed to eat, supposed to have Dollar first, but at least they won't be eating on Yom Kippur. But if you would have a place where they're all B'nai Torah, so then the more correct practice should be to be Machmed to finish Nila Bayom, because many Rishonim pass them like that.
What's another reason to finish Bayom?
Also correct, yeah. The Mishnah says that you're supposed to Duchen by Ne'ilo. And most of the Rishonim assume that you don't have Duchen in Balaylo. Just like Hakrovas HaKarbonis, the pasuk makes a hekesh between duchening and hakrovas hakamonis. Ki bom baruch Hashem l'shor so l'varach b'shmo. The duchening is hukash is compared to hakrovas hakamonis. So just like hakrovas hakamonis is only by yom, so the duchening is only by yom, right? So in most places where they draw out nila into the middle of the night, so they don't duchen. Very few duchen b'alayla. In the Maharil, he quotes, and the Magen Avraham quotes it, Dr. Moshe quotes it. Only in Frankfurt they used to duchen b'alayla. In most communities, they held that it's the Rishonim say it's not right. And they defended their position. They held that there's nothing wrong. There's no such thing. They said, the Yerushalmi says there's no duchening by Ma'ariv because there's no Chazor Sashat by Ma'ariv. That's why. But if you happen to be saying the Chazor Sashats of Ne'ilo in the middle of the night, so they said there is no such Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi never said that you can't duchen b'alayla. That's what the Maharil defends, and the Shagasarian is safer on Tainus. Also, the Leh Shagasarian, Leh Gvurisari on Tainus, defends the Minig Frankfurt. Why they duchen balayla? But all the classical poskim were opposed to it. They all felt that it's not right. Right. So it would be better to finish Neila Bayom, not only because that's the, according to many Rishonim, that's the correct Zman of Neila, you'll also gain that you'll duchen. Everybody in the Quran will duchen by Neila. Yeah, so in the days of the Gemara, there was in the days of the Tanoim, before they repealed the Takonis Ezra, so the din required that in order for a Balkari to daven, he has to go to Mikveh. According to the Rabbi, even after repealing Takonis Ezra, it was only repealed with respect to learning Torah, it was never repealed with respect to davening. So it's not just in the early days of the Tanoim. According to the Rabbi, even in the late days of the Tanoim, the Gemara's discussion still is apropos. The Gemara has a discussion, what if the person already davened Mincha on Yom Kippur, and then he becomes a Balkari? So is he required, is he permitted, is he required to go to Mikveh in order to daven the Ila? So the Gemara says it depends. If you have to daven the Ila by Yom, you have to start by Yom, or finish by Yom, so you have to go to Mikveh, because a Balkari is not allowed to daven. Either in the earlier period, before they abolished Takanas Ezra, or even in the later period. They only abolished it vis-a-vis learning, not with respect to davening. Okay. Gemara doesn't, it's unclear which Tanoim lived in which period over here. So that's what the Tanoim are discussing over here. But if you hold, you can daven Nila Balaila, so then there's no reason why we should allow the person, why should insist that the person should go to the Mikvah on Yom Kippur. Let him go to Mikvah Masa Yom Kippur. Let him daven Nila after Tzeisah Kehav. So there won't be any problems. So this is the issue that's discussed on Kuf Chafal of Manalev, as well as Yuma Daf Peches of Manalev. So there, the Tesis has the two girsas. If the fellow already davened Mincha, Min HaMincha LaMailo, and this Tana holds that he can daven Nila, Balailo, he doesn't have to go to Mikveh now in order to daven Nila today, so is the girsa any Yochel Litvol, or is the girsa any Tzarech Litvol? So one girsa is any Yochel Litvol. He's not allowed to be Tovol. Even though the Tvila will be Metire him, it's the Tvila HaMetaheres, but the only Heter, the only reason why we declare that the Rechitza is not a Rechitza Shaltainig is because either Tvila Bizman a Mitzvah, or because he needs the Tvila in order to enable him to daven Nila. But if he doesn't need the Tvila to daven Nila, he can daven Nila Balayla, let him go to Mikveh after Tzeis, and then he'll be able to daven Nila. So then, Eino Yochel Litvol, we wouldn't permit him to be Tovol. And the other gears that Tosis thinks is more correct, ain't a tzarch litvos. There's no need for him to be tovel now. If he wants to be tovel, there's no problem, because the fact that the tefillah is tefillah hametaheres, that causes it to be removed from the category of a rechitza shel tayin. As long as the tefillah is mitzurf to something else, then it's already not a rechitza shel tayin. So this is the gist of the Gemara. Nachamol, so getting back again. How did we get involved over here? Let's start again. In Beitza Yudches and Yudzayin and Beitza, there was a Mishnah that quoted the Machlokes of Shem and Misil, and we passed like the Basilil, that we distinguish, Shabbos and Yom Tov the same thing, we distinguish between Tfilos Adam, who's Tami, as opposed to Tfilos Kalim. Kalim is Nea Shabbos. Kalim Tamei may not be Tovel neither on Shabbos nor on Yom Tov, as opposed to Adam, this Shabbos, and Adam Tami may be Tovel both on Shabbos and on Yom Tov. The Gemara gave four explanations. First was Rabba, then Rabbi Yosef, then Rabbi Bibi, and then comes Rava. And for some reason or another, that's what Tosfos gives you a whole historical explanation why on Kufi Aleph and Al. The Gemara assumed that Rava backed out from something else. He didn't back out from his Shita here in Beitza Daf Yudches. And the Gemara gives the four explanations for the Mishnah. Why is it awesome with the Rabbanah? It's not an Issa Deraisa. What prompted the Chachamim to introduce the Issa Rabbanan against Tfilas Kalim, and they never introduced an Issa against Tfilas Adam? So Rava never backed out from that pshat. Gemara didn't want to assume that he backed out from too many things. So they wanted to make his chazore as small as possible. So nochemol. So Rava learns pshat in the Mishnah that the reason for the prohibition mid the rabbanon against tefilas kelim is because it's mesakim. Now if it's mesakim, let it be also by Adam also. Mesakim mana applies to Adam. We had mafis mursa. Lafas lapechayev. So Rashi gave two pshatim, whether it's because of bone and because of mesakim mana. So you see, the Masakamana even applies Min HaTorah, according to one day in Rashi. Masakamana applies Min HaTorah to Adam. So what's so bad if you say, here it's not a tikkun in Metzius, here it's just a tikkun in Halachet. He was tovel in the mikveh, he became Torah. So this wouldn't be an Issa Deraisa. Just like if he mafrish Trumas and Maestris, so it's only Masakamana Min HaRabban. It's not a Masakamana Min HaTorah, because it's only a tikkun in Halachet. It's not a tikkun in Metzius. Or Eimim Matim Miyanta, we discussed, the Tosis and Yuma says, if you pluck off the berries, if you have adasim that are anov of merum and mialim, Mishnah says you're not allowed to aim at the mialim, you're not allowed to pull off the anovim. So Taisa said, Newman, that's only an Issa derabban, it's not an Issa derais. So we're not dealing with a real mesakamana derais, because it's only a tikkun in halacha, it's not a real tikkun in mitzvahs. To be tovel in the mikveh to become Torah. But it's not even a mesakamana derabban. Rav only asks it because nirik in mesakam. It doesn't mean it's a marisai. It means they only ask the mesakam mana by the Adam and the Kalim. If it's nikir, if it's not nikir, that it's misakein, then they never asked it. So that's what Rava says, by Adam is tovel in the mikvah, nirik meikar. You can't really tell. A person has dirty dishes, so you wash them in the kitchen. You don't take them to the mikvah. But if a person is dirty, they didn't have showers in every home. They didn't have a bath and a shower. Used to have a central bathing, a place where everybody would bathe. So a mikveh is also a place where everybody bathes. So if a person is tovel in the mikveh on Shabbos, the yontif is near a kimeikar. It's not really so obvious today, Mistama. If a person wants to cool off, he takes a shower at home, takes a bath or a shower at home, he doesn't go to the mikveh. The fact that he's gone to the mikveh is no longer near a kimeikar. But Bismana Tanoim, whenever they made this Zera the Rabbanan, so the Rabbi said they had a city bathhouse where everybody would be either tovel if they were tamei or maker. So Rabbi says by Adam, since it's not nikir, that it's l'shem tahara to remove the tumah, so they never asked him the rabbanon. It's never can maker. So then the Gemara fake takasha, but the heter for tefilas Adam doesn't only apply to Shabbos and Yom Tov when you're allowed to take a bath. It even applies to Yom Kippur when you're not allowed to take a bath. There's a din of the Rabbanon, there's a din of Rechitza, one of the Inuyim on Yom Kippur. And nonetheless, the Brisa says, Kol Achai Betfilas Tazim Kedarkam Be'im Tisha Ba Be'im Yom Kippurim. So that's the Shaila. What is the Heter to be Tevel on Yom Kippurim? He can no longer say Nira Kimeika. So Rava defends his position. So let Rava back out. Let him say, I back out. It's not Nira Kimeika. No. You see from the Gemara there, he doesn't back out. You see from our Gemara. That's not Shaykh. Gemara assumes that Rava doesn't back out from what he said there in Beitza. So Rava says the reason why it's mutter is because they only assered the tefillah if it's nikr, that is l'shem tikkun, if it's nikr all times. if on Shabbos and Yom Tov it wouldn't be Nikar, even though on Yom Kippur it is Nikar that is L'shem Tahara. But since this Tefillah on Shabbos and Yom Tov would not be Nikar, so you can't be more Machmer on Yom Kippur than on Shabbos. Right, but the background is such. But on Yom Kippur there's a Nitzah V'chitzah. So Rabbi says it doesn't make a difference. Since on Shabbos and Yom Tov it's not Nikar that is L'shem Tahara, so even on Yom Kippur it is Nikar, you can't say Nirik and Mekar. They never ask him. So that's what the Gemara considers a stira in Rabbi Shita. The Rabbi said, when are you permitted to hold vinegar in your mouth? At a certain point in the meal. At a later point in the meal, when you're holding by dessert, after the soup or after the chopped liver, whatever, at a certain point that no one is in the practice of putting vinegar in their mouth, then it's going to be nikar. Then it's refu hanikaris. Earlier in the meal, it's refu shein hanikaris, that's mutter. And when it becomes refu hanikaris, then it becomes also. So the Gemara asked Akasha, the name of why shouldn't we say on kuf yud aleph and aleph? Mid delifnei tibul shari, since if it will be early at an earlier stage in the meal, it's refu shein hanikaris, it would be mutter, salacha tibul nami shari. So it should not be called Refu hanikaris, even if you're already advanced in the meal. The shamina le the rabba disli hoyel. You see that rabba holds hoyel. Hoyel is an expression. Hoyel just means that whenever there's a din de rabbanon that depends on it being nikar, here it's a topic of refu hanikaris. And there they're talking about the yisur of nirikim misakim. They only ask a tefillah in the mikveh if it's obvious, if it's nikar, that he's doing it l'shem tikkun. So rabba said, Lek amidi the bishabishari biyam kippur rasa. Hold the bishabishari biyam kippur namishari. Why? Since on Shabbos and Yom Tov you can say nirikim meikar, so it's not nikar that it's l'shem tikkun. So even though on Yom Kippur it is nikar that it's l'shem tikkun, they can't ask him in the rabbanon. They only ask him in rabbanon if it's always nikar. 24 hours a day, Shabbos, Yom Tov, Yom Kippur. If one of these days it's not nikar, namely Shabbos and Yom Tov, it's nirikim meikar. So even on Yom Kippur it is Nikar, they're not going to make any Seder Rabbanon. So how come Rabbi says over here that at a certain stage in the meal it's mutter to have the vinegar in your mouth, the other stage it's also? So the Gemara says, you're right. Hodabe Rabbi Me'ahi. Rabbi backed out. Which one did he back out from? So the Gemara says he backed out over here, the Machlokes Abai v'Rabbi. So he passed like Abai. Rabbi backed out and he holds the same as Abai, that Megameya Ubaleya is mutter even in the later stage. How do you know he backed out from this? Maybe he backed out from the other one. Maybe he holds on Yom Kippur, he's talking not allowed to be Tovel in the mikveh. Maybe only the Tmeyim are permitted to be Tovel on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Maybe on Yom Kippur you're not allowed to. So the Gemara says, that's out of the question. Loisal Kadartach, the Tanya, that's a Brisa that says Beferish. Kol Chavetvil, tell him Kadarkam, Beim Tishabah, Beim Yom Kippur. So Rav is not going to back out from it. So that's what Tosfos says. Maybe Rava backed out from his pshat in the Mishnah in Beitzah, and he holds from Gzeirah Shemi Avirenu, Gzeirah Shemi Yischot, Gzeirah Shemi Yashiv, one of the other reasons. Who said? The whole problem only came about because Rava the Shitasa gave the fourth explanation. Maybe he backed out from one of those. So Tosfos says, no, that's lobo b'cheshbon. That's too much backing out. The Gemara is trying to mimemayit the Chazorah of Rava. To say that he backed out from over there, that's too much. That's the gist of the Gemara. Yeah, halacha lemaisa, how do we paskan taka that people can go to the mikvah on Tisha B'av? So the little Tosfos Tovlin points out that there is a Tana in Tainus Daf Yud Gimel who disagrees. Rav Chanina's Gana Koinim disagrees. I guess he must have lived through the Churban Bayis. Sheni. So he says, Kedai hu beis alakein alabed ala tefillah achas bashana. He thinks that on Tisha B'av, even on Yom Kippur, he says, fine. On Yom Kippur, you should allow all of the Tmeim to go to Mikveh. But on Tisha B'Av, he thinks that we should be Machmir, not to permit Tfilin and Mikveh, even though it's not a Rechitza Shal Tainim. We should be Machmir. Kedaihu, Beis Alakeinu, La'abed Olav Tfilah Achaz Bashana. Why should we paskin all of a sudden, like, Amchanin is Gana Kohenim? It should be Yochid V'Rab, Malachi K'Rab. So Tosfos says, Yerushalmi recommends. Ilchus HaKavasi, K'diyomim Rishon. Shalmi recommends you should be Machmir, like Amchanin is Gana Kohenim. So it should still follow that the women can go to mikveh on Yom Kippur, just on Tisha B'Av now. But on Yom Kippur, yes, women should be allowed to go to mikveh. So that's what Tosfos writes in Beitzah, And Tosfos writes in Beitza on Daf Yud Ches Amud Beis and in other Masechtos, where he tells to look at Nida, other places, so Tosfos writes that this whole story only applies Bizmana Gemara, that people would be Toivel in the Mikveh in order to remove Tumah. The Oidamari, that's the end of a Tosfos, Kol Chayv Tfilas Toivel Kidarkon. So Tosfos writes, Oidamari, the Bizmana Zeh Ein Toivel Lo B'Yam Kippur V'Lo B'Tisha B'Av, the Daf Kehem, Shehoyu Asukim B'Taris, Ha'itzok Litvul Miyad Kideh Shalei Tamu Ataris. Aval Hashto, the only people who go to the Mikveh are the married women. Obviously, Tosfos didn't go to mikveh in order to daven. Balei Tosfos said the only time we use a mikveh is for women to be mutar lebailo. So Tosfos says, and since on Tishba and Yom Kippur there's an isur tashmish amito, so there's no heter to lebailo. So if we'll allow the women to go to mikveh on Tishba and Yom Kippur, this will be misleading. They'll think that they have a heter lebailo. So that's why we prohibit them. Zmanazed is a new thing. That's what the research says. Zmanazed, we only allow a woman to go to mikveh if the mikveh is really matel abayla. But if it's not matel abayla, then not. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. This is quoted. So they quote from the Rivash that we don't permit single women to go to the mikveh because if they're not married, so what's the use of going to the mikveh? It'll just mislead them into sinning. Unless, let's say, there's a discussion today. There are groups in Eretz Yisrael, groups of Orthodox Jews who are very interested in going on to the Har Bayis. So if I'm going to Har Bayis, you have to go to the mikveh in order to remove Tumah Yotzol HaMigufay. So the Shaila is, what about women also? So you would allow women also to go to the mikveh. So some of the Rabbanim write, well, married women maybe, yeah, but single women, we don't allow single women to go to mikveh. What do you mean? You don't allow single women to go to mikveh? Strictly speaking, goes if the whole relevance of the Ri says Bizman Hazeh. What Ri Bizman Hazeh? He lived in Europe. He wasn't going on the Har Bayis. He said Bizman Hazeh. The only relevance of a woman going to the mikveh is to be muta lebailo, mataris lebailo. So if you know it's Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur, she has no heta lebailo, so she's not allowed to go to mikveh. Or if she's a single girl, so she has no husband, so there's no heta lebailo. So just going to mislead her into sinning. So you don't allow her to go to the mikveh. But if you live at a time that it's shach to go on the Har Bayis, if it's permissible to go on the Har Bayis, and the woman wants to be tovel enough to go on the Har Bayis, if she waits a shivani kima, she goes to the mikveh, why not? How can you say that we don't allow single women? You don't allow single women if there's no Har Bayis. But if the single girl wants to eat truma, let's say you're going to live at a time that the single, you have truma and the girl wants to eat truma. So you're going to say, no, we don't allow a single girl to go to the mikveh in order to eat truma. Why not? It's a new din. That goes Bizman Bali Atesis. When they had no Truman, they had no Maisa Sheni, they had no Harabayis, the only issue of going to mikveh was Lamata, Lahata, Labailo. So if the girl is single, there's no Heta Labailo, so she's not allowed to go to mikveh. Yeah. The minig always was, right? The minig always was that they didn't eat, even the men didn't eat the Chalas Chutz Lords. I think the Shach and Yeriday and Hilchas Chalo, the Chalas Eretz Yisrael, anyone's tummy is not allowed to eat. So today we assume almost everybody's tummy tumas meis. We don't have any paraduma water to be metayer anybody. But Chalas Chutz Lord, that's what he points out. Chalas Chutz Lord is only usher for one who has a tumah yotzal migufay. Zav zava nidia ledis mitzora. But if the person only has a tumas meis, then strictly speaking, he's allowed to eat Chalas Chutz Lord. So the Gemara says, let's say you have a koyin cotton. You have a kohen who's younger than 9 years old. So he can't be a balkeri. Because before the age of nine, his aim biyosa biyo. So even if he has a keri comes out from his body, it doesn't make him into a balkeri. Or let's say he's a kohen gadol. Kohen gadol means after the age of nine. Doesn't mean after the age of bar mitzvah. It means a kohen gadol should tova the keri. After the age of nine, he can become a balkeri. But he went to the mikveh. So he went to the mikveh and removed the tumas balkeri. And we know it wasn't a zav. There's no, we never heard that if the guy would have been a Zav, he would have remembered. He would have seen a doctor if he was ever a Zav. So he knows not a Zav. He knows not a, no one is a Mitzvah. Even if someone has Tumas Taras, you don't become Tomei Tumas Mitzvah unless a Kohen declares you as such. So even if a person has Taras, he never went to a Kohen who declared him as a Mitzvah, so he's not a Mitzvah. So nobody's a Mitzvah today, unless a Kohen is going to come and declare them based on a Negat Taras that he sees. He's going to declare them as a Mitzvah. We don't have that today. Yoledes, we know who's a Yoledes and not Yoledes. Okay, so that's not a secret. So strictly speaking, if you have a kohen who is a bal karin, he goes to the mikveh, he's permitted to eat chalas chutzlor. So the shach and yeredei and hilchas chala and the third chelik yeredei, according to the Maharil, the dominic has been for many centuries that the kohanim don't go to mikveh to eat chalas chutzlor. Why? So the Maharil says why, because we lived through so many different pogroms. So a lot of times this kohen or this kohen's great-great-great-great-grandfather was the only survivor from his whole community. And when he comes to America and he comes to shul and he says, I'm a kohen, I want to get the first aliyah. So strictly speaking, you're not supposed to believe him, because there's a takana midrabanan that he should not be neman al piatzma. You should require another eid echad. Min haTorah, he's neman al piatzma to say kohen ani. And midrabanan, the Mishnah, you say in Ksubis, in the second parak in Ksubis, that we require that someone else should testify about them. Now, this chumre midrabanan that we require someone else, if you have a big shas hadchak, you make a lot of that chumre. That's what the Gemara has. Let's say a couple comes and they say they want to get divorced. Husband and a wife say they want to get divorced. So in our Torah, we believe them that they're a husband and a wife, and they tell us their names, and we write a get, and she gets divorced. So midrabanan, they made a takana that you shouldn't rely on the people who come themselves and they identify themselves. Why is that so? Because this may be her boyfriend that she wants to marry, and he's going to make believe that he's the first husband. He's going to go to a bez, and they're going to give him a get, then he'll go to a different rabbi, and they'll say, oh, she has a ptur, she's allowed to remarry, and the guy will be a faker. So min haTorah, you're not chayshish for that. The guy says, I'm the husband, and my name is this and this, and she says she's the wife. So min haTorah, you give the get, and you assume that they're telling the truth. And midrabanan, they were chayshish. So they insisted, midrabanan, you have to have hakoras acherim. You have to have an eid echad should testify. But the Gemara says in Gittin that if you have a big shas atchak, you can rely on hakorim in piyatzmai. There's a mishnah in Gittin, at the end of Gittin, it says, misho haya mushloch bebor, if a guy is in a dungeon, and he screams out, kol hashem esko de yichtav get liishti, my name is kach lekach, I live in such a city, and they're going to kill me, they're going to leave me here in prison forever, and I don't want my wife to be an aguna, and go write a get and give it to my wife. So how do we know that he's telling the truth? Maybe he's telling a lie. So the Mishnah says that we're mekel, even though we require midirabana hakarim and piyacherim, someone else should identify who he is, what his name is. But b'shas ha'sakone, b'shas ha'tchak, kais v'nois, nafal b'shem makirim. We allow you to write the get, even though it's only based on hakaras atzmo. Well, the achrayim have it like that, that years ago it was very difficult for people to travel. You couldn't just hop on a plane and then travel to the other side of the world. So let's say a man dies, and he leaves no children, and his wife needs chalitza, and her brother-in-law happens to show up. His brother-in-law comes and he says, here I am, I'm prepared to do chalitza. So midirabanan min haTorah, he's believed to say, I am the brother of the nift, and we had the same father in Shoyne, and he's going to prepare to do chalitza. Midirabanan, we have to have hakarim piachir, you have to have at least an eid echad who's going to testify that these two men were brothers. So it's difficult enough for him to come from Medina Sayyam. You're going to go get another person. Who else is going to come from Medina Sayyam to recognize him? So by us, it's not so difficult that people traveling all the time. You send a photograph and people recognize him. Remember, Shem, but years ago, it was very difficult. So the Acharonim write that the Beis Hillel, the Pesachei Tshuva quotes that in the Beis Hillel, and Eben Ezra writes that on one occasion, the brother-in-law, the surviving brother, came from Medina Sayyam. And he said that he's the brother, and they were misadar achalitza. Then poitzer pem mitzavtzeh, and nobody raised any issues because it was a shas atzak. There was no way in the world that they're going to insist on having hakarim piachem. So you're never going to have any chalitza. The woman will remain an aguna for the rest of her life. So strictly speaking, let's say after a major pogrom, sometimes you'll only have this kohen will be the only one who survived. He doesn't know where the other survivors are. Everyone ran to a different part of the world. In another 50 years, he'll find out that there are other people from his community who survived in South Africa and Eretz Yisrael. He's over here now, and he doesn't have any other survivors. Some min haTorah, he's never to say on himself, kohen ani. With the Rabbanon, they require that he should have hakarim and piacherim to identify that he's a kohen. But just like the Gemara says by the get, and we say by the chalitza, so too by the kuhuna, if you have a big shas hatchak, so we revert back to the din deraisa, that he can give hakara al piyatzmo. So the Shach quotes the Maharil that since for many generations we have already been in violation of this takanas chacham, we have no choice. The kohen identifies himself as the kohen he duchens and he does pidyon haben and he gets the first aliyah. Whatever functions of kuna he's supposed to do, he does. But at kedei kach that we should have meat, the chumah said that we made a geder, that we don't allow them to eat chumah. Even though, strictly speaking, medina b'gemara, it's a shasa tchak. It's nemen al piyatzmo, so nemen al piyatzmo, let him go to the mikveh and remove the tumas balkeri, and let him be allowed to eat the chalas chutzlar. But since kemat every koyin, at some turning point in the history of the Jewish people, has been in violation, every family of Kohanim has been in violation of the Takanas Chachamim, that you need Hakarim and Piacherim, so we don't recommend that anybody should eat any Truma. That's what the Shach writes. So that's why we don't have it today. In Hilchos Pesach, they quote officially, if a Kohen Katan or a Kohen Gadol should tavel a carrier, so you can give him Chalas Chutzlar to eat. But the Maisa, we don't do it. Maisa, nobody eats a Chalas Chutzlar. So that is the Gemara. That's what the Gemara put together. Two unrelated topics. The topic of refuah and the topic of nirakim misak. Because the Gemara assumed that in both cases, they only made the Issa de Rabbanan if it's refuah hanikeres. And they only made the Issa de Rabbanan there if it's a misak and mana that in a fashion that it's nikir. And if it's not nikir, not. And then the Gemara quotes Rabbi's opinion there in Beitza. And Daf Yutres, that Nikeris means all day long it's Nikir. If part of the day it's Nikir, part of the day it's not Nikir, so even the part of the day that it's Nikir will also be Mutter. And even if all day long it's Nikir, all day long on Yom Kippur it's Nikir, that it's a Misakin Mana. But on Shabbos and Yom Tovah it would be Nikir, because on Shabbos and Yom Tovah it's Mutter to be Maker. Even on Yom Kippur it's also to be Maker. So that's not called the. That's not called the misakein in a fashion that it's nikir, and that's mutter. So that's what the Gemara says, that where Rava originally thought to disagree with Abaye over here, to say that at one stage in the meal it will be nikir, one stage it won't be nikir, so when it's nikir it's also, so Rava backed out. As long as there's one stage in the meal that it's ena nikir, that it's a shame refuah, even in later on in the meal it'll also be mutter. The only time it's also if it's really nikir all the time. Yeah.
What's
the difference between Rabbi back out here or back out there? Why is it too much? Either it's going to be one Hazar, for instance. Not more Hazar. Said that using that would say that here is the food. We don't want to train. What it says, the Yomari, the Lemstabla Fuchet Train Mili Mishum Chada. Train Mili Nil Chada, Mitam, the Nirikim, the Sakh, the Chada, Hamil, Sadis, at one time Rava held that Nikir depends on that hour, is it Nikir or not. The other time he said as long as some day or some time in the day it's ain't a Nikir, so even the rest of the day it'll also be Mutter. It's not, even though it is Nikir, we don't consider it Nikir. So one of those he has to back out from. These two contradict each other. So you're going to say he backed out from one of those, plus he backed out from his Pshat in the Mishnah in Beitza. And he agrees with one of the other explanations that Amoraim gave. So that's what Tosfos said. Rather than to say that he backed out from two different principles, one principle is the reason for the Mishnah and Beitza and the Afyazinim base. The other is that he backed out from one of the this issue whether when there's an Issa Rabbanan that depends on something being Nikr, does it depend on this particular minute or does it depend on being Nikr all the time? So Tosfos considered that, backing out from two different things. So the Gemara feels that they'd rather have Rava back out only from one principle as opposed to backing out from two principles. There is a din when a ger converts, he's supposed to have a bezdin present when he's tefillin in the mikveh. A ger has to have a tefillin in the mikveh, has to mil a tefillah, and he has to bring a korban. Bismanazad is not based on Migdash, you don't bring a korban. The Gemara learns that from the Pasuk that the korban is not miyake Bismanazad. But the Mila and the Tzila we pass can all miyake. So the Gemara Yevamos describes, that's the Gemara increases Daf Testament out. So the Gemara Yevamos describes when the ger is tevel in the mikveh, he has the bezin of three people standing there by the mikveh, and they review the Kabbalah on mitzvahs immediately prior to his being tovel in them. So Tosfos and Yevamos has two opinions whether this is ma'akeh b'dieved. What if a ger was tovel in the mikveh and he didn't have a bezin present at the time? He had Kabbalah on mitzvahs previously in the presence of a bezin, but he didn't have the bezin present at the time that he was tovel in the mikveh. So that's two opinions. And Tosfos and Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva where he says that's fake edina, and the correct thing is that the person should be tovel again. Because it's a problem, it was an issue for many years. If you have a woman who wants to convert, so the bezin has to be a bezin of three men. So what, the bezin is going to stand there when the woman is not dressed and she's tovel in the mikveh? So many tzaddikim, many holy rabbonim had a practice that they would go through the kabbalas on mitzvahs with the woman, and then they would tell the mikveh lady to take her into the mikveh, and the rabbonim would not be present when the woman went to the mikveh. And others insisted that's not acceptable, that the bezin has to be there. So the woman should wear a loose robe that doesn't constitute a chatzitza. If you're wearing tight clothes, that's a chatzitza that doesn't allow the water to touch the body. But if a person is wearing clothing that's not tight on his body, even if it's all wrapped up with the clothing, so that's not a chatzitza. So that's where Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva. That even though there were tzaddikim and goyim and talmid hachamim who were mekel on this, and they said that it's acceptable even if the bezin is not present, he says he doesn't think that's right. It's two opinions in Tosfos. Anyone who was tovel, any gera, geras who was tovel, not in the presence of the bezin al shloisha, should be tovel again, b'li brocha. He suffix for 2 days in Tosfos. So there is a gemara in Yevamos, in the sugya of geras there, mem zayin or so, where the gemara says that a ger is not allowed to be tovel on Shabbos. A ger is tovel in the mikveh, is not allowed to be tovel on Shabbos. Locher is not an Issa deraisa, some kind of an Issa derabbanan or another. Exactly what's the Issa derabbanan involved over here? So one could say that it's an Issa ein donim, that you're convening a bezna of three. There's a din ein donim, a mishnah, and beitza ein donim, Shabbos of Yom Tzvigzevashem, a yichtov. So the original ein donim is, if you have a din Torah, you have din in the fashis. So ein donim is a gzevashem, a yichtov, they may write down their arguments. They may write down what the arguments of the Bali Dinim were. Usually when you have a Din Torah, the Rabbanim keep notes in order to see if the people contradict each other, if they contradict themselves. So the simple case of Ein Donim is if there's a Hashash Shema Yichtov. What if there's no Hashash Shema Yichtov? Let's say Yemata Neder. Does anybody ever take notes when they make a Bezin? One of the guys forgot that it was Rosh Chodesh today, forgot that it was Chanukah, and he took a neder by Mincha, he's going to fast today. Some he has a final or something. So he took a neder, he's going to fast. He has a Shabbos, he's allowed to fast. So I told him, you're going to be Matan Neder. What do you mean? So whenever you put together a bezin to be Matan Neder, so someone takes notes. They don't take notes what he says, and they don't take notes that they made a Hataras Neder. They may not remember it. If you speak to them next month, they won't even remember that they made a Hataras Neder. So you don't. So the Gezerah, the Hashash of Shema Yichtav doesn't really apply there. And nonetheless, there are some who say, there is a Mishnah in the end of Masechus Shabbos, the very end of Masechus Shabbos, where it says, you're only allowed to be Mata Neder on Shabbos if it's Letzorach HaShabbos. Let's say the person took a Neder not to eat flesh, not to eat potatoes. So that's what the meal is all about. So they can eat milchik, so they can have chicken, and they can live without the potatoes and the cholent, they can eat other foods. But since everybody else is eating flesh and potatoes from the cholent, so you can make a Hataras Neder L'Tzorach HaShabbos. But if it's not L'Tzorach HaShabbos, they took a Neder that's not relevant to Shabbos at all. So then we don't allow Hataras Neder on Shabbos unless it's L'Tzorach HaShabbos. So what's involved? What's the prohibition? So many say that it's an Issur Ein Donim, even though no one is going to take any notes. So the same over here. One can say that the reason why we don't allow a ger to be tovel on Shabbos is because you need a Bezdin, and a Bezdin is a violation of Ein Donim B'Shabbos. So Tosfos Yishonim writes in Yevamos on that Gemara a different pshat. They don't say Ein Donim. They say that it's Misakin. It's an Issa Misakin. Before he was a Nochri, now when he's Tovel it becomes a Yisrael. But the Mishnah and Beit Yudzayim and Beit quotes the Hillel that only Tfilos Kelim is also Tfilos Adam is Mutam because Niver Kemeikar. So the Tosfos Yishonim writes in Yevamos, normally when a person is tovel in the mikveh, he doesn't have people watching him. Mm-hmm. Over here by the ger, or even by the gyor, that you have three rabbis standing on top of the mikveh, so how can you say nirei kimeikar? So since it's obvious that it's mistaken, So here the Yisr is Misakin Mani Midi Rabbana. Huh? Okay. Okay.
It's for the others.
Right. The Pashta says that it shouldn't be an Easter on him. Because Mani is a guy, he's not Muzer on Shabbos. And after he's told from a mikveh that he didn't do anything wrong. That's an argument, right? That's how. That's why one would tend to argue the point and say that the Yisr is on the Bezdin, not so much on him that he's being told. The Yisr is on the Bezdin, ain't done him. Ain't done him. And maybe it's an Yisr on the Bezdin. The Gemara has a whole sugya in Beitzah, it's earlier in Shabbos, and Perek Kira, that let's say someone has a Shaila on Shabbos on Kashrus. A Shaila Basa Bechola, a Shaila on a chicken, a Shaila of Trefus or something. So you're permitted to paskin lahokil on Shabbos. That's not called misakin mona. The Baal Bas has food that he can't eat because he doesn't know what the din is. And then he comes and he asks the shaman, and I say the din is his batul b'shishin. So he didn't know. I tell him what the din is. The din is he finds out that he cooked the flesh in a milchik pot. He thinks that it's trait. Then he comes and he asks, and I tell him no, the pot wasn't used for milchik in 24 hours. So nesim tam lagam doesn't make osa. So is that an isim misakin? So the Gemara said that's not an isim misakin. When a moira hara passes on something lahokel, that's not an isim misakin. So the Gemara says maybe that's not maybe. The Gemara says that's only because when the moira hara passes in basa b'cholav or in treifis, it's not that nikana lahabo it's mutter. It's a gloy muslim affair. It was always mutter. If the Baal Bas would have known the din, he would have known on his own. He didn't know. So it's just a given also the alma. When the rabbi tells him that it's a nosim tam lagam or the shishim or whatever the case happens to be. But let's say you have a case where the psak is only chal mikara lahabo. So maybe, not maybe, then the Gemara says that it's an isur on the bezin to issue a psak in such a case. The psak of the bezin is misakin. So it could be that the Tosis means to say that the bezin's participation in the tefillah tager is not so much that the ger's tefillah in the mikveh is the misakin, and not so much ain't done him, they're not being done anything, but it could be that the Tosis Yishanim over there and Yevamis understood that the Bezin is Mekabel the Ger. What's that locha? That you need, let's say when you get married you need Eidus L'Kim Adom. When you Tovel and a Mikvah, the Shem Ger, you say you need a Bezin. So then you need three L'Kim Adom, you need a Bezin L'Kim Adom. They just have to be watching. Oh no, the Bezin is Mekabel the Ger. It's Kabbalah Sagir. The Bezdin is like they're shaking hands with the Ger and accepting him and they're making him into a Jew. The Bezdin makes him Jewish. Not that he becomes Jewish on his own if he's tovel on the mikvah in the presence of the Bezdin. The Bezdin is considered as if they're actively participating in making him Jewish. That's how the Beis Halevi writes. Others write like that. They claim to have rights from the Gemara, that the Bezdin's participation in the Geris is considered an active participation. So the Bezdin functions as the misakin mona. It's hard to say that the gear is in violation of the Yisr of Malacha of misakin midirabbanan. What do they call man? He's a goy. He's not in violation of anything in Hilchos Shabbos. Ad the Rebbe. He's not permitted to observe Shabbos. Nachri Shu Shabbos is in violation. And the minute that he becomes Jewish, he didn't do anything wrong. After that, he doesn't have to be tovel anymore in the mikveh. So the chori that Taisus holds that the Yisr is on the Bezdin. The Isser is on the Bezin. What do you mean? The Bezin is being the Kabbal. So what does Taisa say? That then it's Niker. But Doichik. Taisa says, since you need Tvila Sodom is normally Nira Kimekar. But if you have a Tvila Sodom that requires a Bezin to stand there, then it's Niker that is L'shem Misakin Mona. What do you mean? So then the Nachri is over on the Isser. How can you say the Nachri is over? That's a stark Taina. The Pashto says the Bezdin is over on the Yisr. Either the Yisr ain't done him or the Yisr is second because it becomes Jewish Nikana Lahabo. It doesn't become, it's not that it's a glory Muslim affair, he always was Jewish. It's not he always was Jewish. He becomes Jewish now. And the Bezdin is considered as actively participating in making him Jewish. So that's Misakin Mona, the Bezdin's participation. But how do they, Taisa says that it's Niker. Taisa says that it's Niker. It's a difficult thesis. So doichik, the taste of shvera taste. Okay. Okay. What does the Mishnah have weiter? The last piece in the Mishnah is a machleitz of Shimon HaChachamim. Reb Shimon holds kol yisrael b'nei melachim. Everyone really deserves to be so wealthy that they should all be able to afford even mikmos achol, even a napstick. They should all be able to shmir shem and vered. So therefore, it's called the refuah she'ena nikeret. And the Chachamim say, what do you mean? But lemaisa, this man is not wealthy. So for this individual, it's a refuah hanikeret. So therefore, it's not allowed. So the Gemara quotes, Amar Rav halachik Reb Shimon. Rav paskins like Reb Shimon. So the Gemara starts to chepe Rav. Lemeimer de Rav ki Reb Shimon svirlei. It means to say that Rav seems to hold like Reb Shimon, Rashi says. And every case where Reb Shimon is mekel and Hilchas Shabbos, wow. Every case is mekel. Reb Shimon happens to be mekel on Muktzah. Machlag Zabir, Reb Shimon is mekel on Muktzah. He's mekel on four different machleks, and it happens to be Reb Shimon is mekel on four things. So just because Rav paskens like Reb Shimon on the kol yisrael b'nei melachim means that he has to follow Reb Shimon on all the others, very strange. That's how Rashi reads. Tosfos says this is unbelievable. How can it be? Tosfos says v'li nira v'loy nira. Tosfos says lemeimer the Rav Kereb Shimon Svir like Pirush Kuhn is lemeimer the Rav Bekuli Shabbos Kereb Shimon Svir. He holds like all the coolest of Reb Shimon. Was going to lead up to Akash. What's with Mesuch Raisa than his Aisa? The Gemara says Hahi Afilu Reb Shimon Moed that is a psikresh. It's also because of psikresh. But Rashi learns lemeimer the Reb Shimon the Rav Kereb Shimon Svir lei and all the four issues where Reb Shimon disagrees with the Chachamim and Hilchos Shabbos. So Tosfos says, what has one got to do with the other? On your test on the day, it says, a machlek is Rav Shmuel by Karachi Dezuze. Karachi Dezuze, if you have a boat and they have all kinds of merchandise, they have engines, motors, automobiles, all kinds of things that are moving from America to South Africa. They're going to sell it in South Africa. And I'm on the boat and it starts to rain on Shabbos. And I don't want the engines to get ruined. So I take covers and I cover over the Muktzadik engine. So that's a machlekes Rav Shmuel, where they allow to cover over the engines. So Rav holds that these special covers, the cases that typewriter. Let's say you have a typewriter, portable typewriter with a case. So just like the typewriter is a klish malach talis, a probably called malach talis, a muktzeh, so the typewriter case is also a klish malach talis. And Shmuel disagrees. So Rav says karachi dezuzah is aser. So the Gemara says this depends on the machlekes Reb Shimon and Reb Yudah. But the Karach of Dezuzi also depends on Machlek Zab Shimon Reb Yudah regarding Mukta. How come the Gemara never asked that that's a stira? How come there Rav holds like Reb Yudah who asks Mukta, and here Rav holds like Reb Shimon and Kol Yisrael B'nei Malachim? The answer is, what does one Reb Shimon got to do with the other? There are four different things Reb Shimon said. Just because you hold like Reb Shimon by one doesn't mean you have to hold by the other. And then Tosfos quotes, V'kama amarai mechalkim adav kuf chav ches. The Gemara splits in Hilchos Shabbos. Even in Mukta Gufa, you can hold like Reb Shimon in one area Mukta, hold like Reb Yudah in the other area Mukta. Kavachem, you can hold like Reb Shimon, call yourself the name Malach, and not hold like Reb Shimon by Dov Shein Miskavin Mukta. What does one got to do with the other? Right, right. Zavada Taina. Zavada Shtaka Taina. Yeah. I don't know. So Tosfos comes up with a new einfach. Near the Rabbeinu Tam, the havamin of the Gemara was to reinterpret the machlekes of Shimon and the Tanakama. The pasha b'shat in the machlekes is kol yisrael b'nei melachim, and it has a shaychus with bav mitzias daf kuf yud gimel. Kol yisrael b'nei melachim over there. Every Jew deserves to be wealthy and deserves to be able to afford shem and vered all week long, even when he's not sick. And therefore, Reb Shimon says that it's called refuah she'ena nikeres. Achram say, what are you talking about? But lemaisa, he's not so wealthy. And for him, it is a refuah hanikeres. That's the pasha pshat machlekes. So the Rabbeinu Tam says, the makshin at this point, who asked the kasha, the memre, the Rav ki Reb Shimon Svirle, he understood that the machlekes Reb Shimon and the Tarakam and the Mishnah is the old machlekes that they have regarding Dovashen and Miskavin. That was, that the Tanakam holds Dovashen and Miskavin is Zasar. So therefore, even though the fellow is smearing the Shem and Vered, the Shem Tainug, he's not even interested in doing it l'shem refuah. But since at the end of the day is going to bring about the refuah, So the Tanakam, it may or may not bring about the refuah. If it's a vado, it's going to bring about a refuah, it's a psikration. May or may not bring about a refuah, it's a double shenim miskavin. So the Tanakam holds double shenim miskavin is also. Reb Shimon is mata because double shenim miskavin is muta. May or may not bring about a refuah, so it's not a vado. So that's how the Gemara misunderstood. The Makshin misunderstood. He thought that the machlekes over here is not what the Kol Yisrael b'nei Melachim. He thought it's in Gansen a different machlekes. A very strange Gemara. According to Rashi, is very strange. According to Rabbi Natan, is also doichik. Very strange Gemara. Okay, but Lineta, tomorrow we'll continue. We'll continue in the Gemara. As it turns out, I don't have any nights that are free to invite everybody over to a chagig in my home.